It is my intention to call the meeting to order in 2 minutes. But before I do that, may I make a point to my beloved pen, which has disappeared. You may remember, for want of a nail, a horse, a shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, a horse was lost. For want of a horse, a battle was lost. For want of a battle, the war was lost. No, I want only my beloved pen to do. Oh, yeah, it's a special pen that has sentimental value in the red and blue, and I like it. So if you found a pen that was not yours, and you'll see it somewhere, or you find it floating around, this is the one that...
what's it look like?
It looks like this.
Oh, I know.
That is red. Ah, thank you so much. You can have a hat. Thank you.
Well, there we are. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. Count down to meeting time. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Meeting of the Local Petition Board is hereby called to order. We will now distribute the minutes prepared by the Governance Committee. John Wenger Terry, would you be kind enough to distribute those? And would you
to the public?
To the public and also to the members. Maybe starting with our...
Thank you.
How are you?
Very good. Been busy as hell, but
saying yes to much.
Well, that's going to stop in the center.
Okay, we're going to go to a welcome and acknowledge. I want to thank all of you for.
Get their name card.
I want to thank all of you for being here today, members of the public, members of the LSB, and we're setting to a forum. We do that for Mr. Vice Chair. Okay, we have a forum. Motion for excused absence.
Don't we have a roll call first?
Just a second.
I'd like to acknowledge Vice Chair of Government, John Wenger, who I will henceforth call Dr. J for his outstanding work stepping up to the plate, because I jumped so high, even with his busy schedule and chairing last night's meeting and bringing up an agenda for today. I'd also like to thank Whatever Reed for presenting this food every day. I mean, we take it for granted that it doesn't just appear. It has to be stopped.
I'd like to thank someone who is here. Richard Vega, who is acting as my parliamentary advisor. Because you remember last time that I was letting you know, a little thumbing through the book, trying to look for an appropriate section. But it seems this to be his first time with us, so let's have him start with a workout. So you can sit quietly through a nice, tranquil meeting we have. I also want to thank Terry Goodman for all the work that he does as our LSB KPSK web liaison and for other information that he provides. And
I second the thanks to Clement for the work that he does in getting this reception together. And far be it for me to single out any member of the wonderful LSD, but there seems to be a shining light on the other side of the table. Bree Walker, so we welcome you. So happy to have you so noticed this way.
Thank you. I follow every intriguing email. I promise not up to date.
It's better than the young and the restless. Excuse absences. I have a request from Holly Lester. Our secretary normally has all of those, but as I recall, and I can make it to the
secretary.
Okay. Ken Aaron will.
I'm going to do the roll call.
Okay.
Ken Aaron here. Jonathan Alexander. Rodrigo Aguirre. Argueta. That's what I'm before. Luis Cabellas. John Funshaw. Israel Foyer. Rutina Juarez. Kim Kaufman.
Present.
Okay. Fred Plunder. Ali Lasso. Okay. And Sequoia Mercer. Dutch Merritt.
Present.
J. Mark Murray.
Present.
J. Sean Casey O'Brien.
Present.
J. John Parker.
Present.
Reza Poor.
Here.
Okay, Leslie Radford.
I'm here.
Good. Summer Reese.
Present.
J. Raimondo Reynosa. Rico Ross.
Here.
Okay, Bree Walker.
Here.
Good. Donna Warren.
Here.
Okay, John Langer. Okay, Lamont Yates. Okay, and Lamont Lakey's excuse. As chair, I think the point is people can request an absence that has to be voted by the majority to get excused. You can't just request it. And I didn't get who else requested the ones I don't have. What about one of the other absences I have is Jonathan Alexander, Luis. I received the request.
Okay.
And it went to everybody. And Fred sent it up to you. So we should vote on these excuses.
All right, so.
Wait, there are six, I think. I'm starting.
Okay, and Ken Aaron is taking minutes also. All right, can we vote on that?
Yes.
Anything else? Okay. Let's vote in on those brief absences. Excuse absences. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any people nominated? Abstaining? Okay. Let me know that it passed. Okay. And your proposed dates for the LSC meetings. I was going to send out proposed dates, but I got several requests for specific dates that LSB members cannot attend. So far, I would say that the next meeting will be scheduled the week of June 18th. I will inform you further of that once I hear from people. Please let me know if you have any specific objections to any of those dates within the week of June 18th. Email me, jcrumshow@yahoo.com. Let me know, and within a week of this meeting, I will select that meeting date. Also, please look through your calendar. If there are any particular dates that you have to be absent, let me know, and we'll try to accommodate as many people as we can. Leslie.
It's already taken care of. I've seen it happen.
Okay.
When I get your approval of the agenda, I thought as courtesy we might want to move up the report from program director to be here now. We have many, many things in front of us, so it's just for consideration, it might be more courteous to let him get the report and we'll wait for us to get through it for 12 hours. So I guess it changed the agenda.
This is not yet
the appropriate time.
Let's see. Do we have a nonviolent policy? I take it that everybody has received an email with the nonviolent policy.
the confidentiality agreements. There are some people who have not signed them, and I will be passing out the confidentiality agreement afterwards, so as not to take time now, because we are a little bit late in our start.
Yeah, I will be talking a little bit about the confidentiality agreement, because what was sent out is flawed. It's missing a very important clause, the confidentiality clause. So I'll be talking about that when we get down to new business.
Thank you. Item 3 on the agenda, approval of the agenda. Without objection, we will move to approve. More corrections?
Would not be the place where we would move up to PNB Deputy Director's report to approve the agenda?
Yeah. We need to have a PNB.
I'm not PNB, I'm saying the PNB. We can have Alan sit here for 2 hours.
Okay.
I'm not
asking for discussion on it. I'm just asking if you're making that motion, that you, this is approval of the agenda, so that would be the appropriate time to make a
motion. Okay, I guess that my motion would be that we be moved to, is it appropriate to go before unfinished business, or finish that, go at the beginning of the business?
Second.
Okay, thank you.
So you're saying that it would be moved to
four point five
or something.
There you go, just at the top of the agenda.
I'd like to amend that. I think all the reports should be moved to the top so we can then know what we're doing when we talk about unfinished business and new business. You should move that whole section to the very top of the agenda where it's always been before.
Second. Okay, that's an amendment to amendment.
Well, I accept that. I mean, it's a good problem.
You accept that as a friendly amendment?
Yes.
Okay. So, what would happen is that... Well, we have approval of the agenda. Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't get to approval of the minute consent agenda. So we haven't gotten to that. Are you saying then all of this would move up, if I understand you correctly, Sean, then we would move all of them up and PD search motion would come to the bottom?
No. Well, all you would do is take all the reports and move them up right under initiation of the meeting so that it would read initiation of meeting, reports, unfinished business, new business.
Okay. So it would be actually then 3.5, is that what you would say?
Right. There you go. 3.5.
So all of these would be 3.5.
Thank you.
All right. All those in favor of moving the report up to position 3.5 on the agenda, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And you may also raise your hand. All those opposed, nay. Abstentions? Okay, so moved. We have approval of minutes of the consent calendar to approve past minutes. Any discussion?
I'm sorry, one more time.
The approval of the minutes, the consent calendar, everybody was emailed minutes. Yes, sir.
Are you asking us to approve everything that was sent without
everything
any,
that was
without any amendments, without any adjustments?
Correct. If that is your will. If not, then you simply indicate otherwise.
Correct. I didn't know this would be an agenda item, and I didn't have a chance to read all the minutes, so I can't. Personally, I will approve.
Okay, so you're not approving any of those minutes that are there on the consent calendar.
I'm just asking.
Gotcha.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. All right, and that is sufficient then to remove this from the consent calendar, and we would be able to go through the individual minutes. Kinner, please go ahead.
In other words, if we can vote to approve them, even if we have a majority vote, that's what was required to approve them, or we can not. Because somebody didn't read them, I don't think prohibits us from voting on approving.
As I understand it, any one person who wants to pull the minutes, and in fact, I take what Dutch said as wanting to pull the minutes, is able to do it.
Pulling it from the consent.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, all right, I stand corrected. Okay. I am wondering why you don't have secretary here. You used to come here and pass out the minute over there with it. Have it in our hand.
I don't know what to say yet.
Yeah, I got an email from Doug asking if I could pick him up, and I told him I could this morning, so he may have transportation.
Okay, thank you.
I did get minutes from Doug, and
and I asked him to make copies, but he's not here, so we'll take minutes from last night.
Point of information? Would it be time to solicit a volunteer secretary? We have John Gary over there, who's been taking minutes and meetings lately, and he's so moved.
Excuse me, but I had already asked Ken Aaron to take the minutes and acknowledge John Gary and also
Point of information, would it be better to have a board, not have a board member be burdened with minutes, and rather having a person dedicated to minutes?
I already asked Ken Aaron, he accepted, and I noted that John Gary is taking the minutes and would be a backup.
Would Mr. Gary be interested in the position if it was open? Thank you.
Okay. And that is not a point of information. That is not a point of information.
I'm asking a question. I'm seeking information.
It is not a point of information.
Being that we've established a pattern where a non-board member is our secretary, thus bringing up all the board members to fully participate in the group, I would recommend that John Gary be appointed this staff today solely so that Ken can fully participate in the rest of the meeting.
Second that.
I'll pull it to that.
Well, second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that for purposes of allowing Ken Aaron to fully participate in the meeting, that we would, for the purpose of this meeting, appoint John Gary as acting secretary. There's moved and seconded discussion.
I of course.
Yes.
They are preparing Ken to do the job, even he is the member, and more comfortable than anybody else.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes.
Yeah, we may be paying him, but he's not here. We need to have an official meeting, so I support this motion.
And as I understand it, Ken Aaron has indicated that he would favor that change. Okay.
I would like to comment after this vote when there's a vote, and I'm just pointing out that I'd like to continue with the discussion about the secretary after the vote. I wanted to talk about the secretary situation.
Okay, no, that's fine, but right now we're just focusing on that, and it's appropriate time just to
call the acknowledgement.
Well, bye. I think that the secretary and treasurer are both positions that we held by people off of this board, and if we have a volunteer from the community who's willing to do it, it does make more sense to free up attention to be able to fully participate in the meeting, because it is hard to be the secretary and fully participate in motions and think about comments. So if he's willing and he's willing, and then the issue of who we're paying is not showing up is an entirely separate issue. So I think that we should go ahead and accept
Thank you. Any further discussion? Then I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of replacing the temporary, very temporary appointment of Ken Aaron as acting secretary for this meeting with John Gary as a replacement for this
John.
Meeting.
John!
Raise your hand, please.
Yeah, I'm dropping my vote. Sorry.
Are you voting yes?
Oh, yes.
So, all those two, three, four.
Wait, I have to count on the second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
All those opposed?
One.
Abstentions?
One.
Okay, John Gary, as the motion passes, John Gary will be acting secretary for this meeting. John Gary, are you comfortable where you are, or would you like to move to the...
Where is John?
Over here.
I'm comfortable. I hope there's a flood at the...
Yes, there's 13, yeah.
There's a...
13.
There's a 15.
Flood right here, you can tap into.
John, there's a name tag in here at the end of that.
Right here.
I can't reach.
John, you got to sit there because you're going to have to do both tabs.
Well, about it.
Dutch, you know what I can do? How about he sit here and all of us can move over? One.
Yeah.
Okay, we're here.
I hope the LSU members and the public will know that the board is capable of making complex decisions.
I literally moved the motion.
Could you recommend you provide him with a list of the many students about it?
Right. I feel that you and that.
Right. I'm going to give you a list. I'll make sure you're going to put it on the list. So, Mr.
No comment? Huh? Oh, nothing. I do want to say that I've served as secretary of a number of organizations, and it's one of the most challenging positions that has to be done with care, and our secretaries always do the very best we can. So I trust that Bill will be a good company.
Yes, I want to note for the record that our current
We have a member talking.
That our current permanent secretary forwarded to us copies of the minutes that he had sent to you over the month. And I was wondering if you could explain to us why those were not distributed as you received them.
I sent those minutes, the copy of the minutes that I had that he sent to me, put them together, and sent them out to the LSU members as part of the secretary.
But he has been sending them to you for several months, according to the records he sent.
What he indicated was that he had been sending them, but I hadn't received them. And I made several requests, and finally sent them to me. I think I forwarded the emails when he sent them.
Okay, he forwarded to us the emails he sent to you with the date and time on.
Okay, then I did not.
It appears that they, you know, unless something's really messed up, that you've been getting them in a timely manner, and I would like somebody at some future point to explain the delay that was happening there.
The only thing I can say is that I wasn't aware of any minutes that were coming to me. We talked about it with Doug, and he sent me, because I asked him for several months to send me the minutes. When he sent it, I took the time to put them together and get this
good
now. Thank you.
Are we in the part where we're just discussing the secretary generally or the secretarial position
about
going on?
No, that's not. Okay. At this point, I think that the board member just raised
questions
and I answered.
Call from the agenda. We don't
have any
agenda talking about
this. Okay, because I mean, I think it's realistic. We should bring it up.
That's
really brought up.
Yeah, then we got to get it in.
Okay.
Call from the agenda.
All right, so the consent calendar now with the minutes. We don't have approval of...
I make a motion that everybody reads them by next month when we do that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so moved, seconded. All those in favor?
Absolutely. Right?
Any objections? Okay, those opposed? All right, the motion passes. And abstentions? Motion passed. Okay, so we will deal with that next month. And then we're going to go to 3.5, which is going to be the report. And we have the PMB director's report. Okay, Sean?
Yeah, we had a PMB meeting last night, as usual, it was a lot of fun. Because that's all we do is have fun on the PMB. And you should know, from a financial report of our CFO, April year to date,
The foundation brought in $8.3 million, which is wonderful, but we were budgeted for nothing. So we took about a $700,000 shortfall there. I am happy to report that KPFK has a positive surplus right now of $254,000. So I think you should all applaud yourself that we have that. Now, that's the good news. When you compare it to last year, we're about $70,000 short. But, of course, under these economic circumstances, that's probably pretty good. We got a stimulus grant, which is going to help all the stations out for $153 billion. I wish.
Wow.
Yeah. We met to discuss people who the procedure for considering who should be considered LES. As you all know, last year we had Michael Sanchez as our LES. He did an excellent job. He pulled off a fair election. Both sides trusted him. And we didn't get sued. All really good things when it comes to Pacifica elections. There was an effort on some on the PNB to have him disqualified on a non-existent technicality. There was some thought that because of previous years, they had disqualified staff people from being considered for the LES because they were employees, and our bylaws does say you cannot be an employee. They then came up with a three-month period where they said, well, even if you quit the job and you're no longer an employee, you got to wait 3 months. And they tried to use this against Michael. I went to the bylaws. I looked. It doesn't exist. This led to a week of email going back and forth. Our corporate counsel weighed in on three or four separate occasions. I've shared some of those with you, and he has said it was like a primer on employment law. You know, in America, slavery's over. If somebody wants to quit a job one day, they can go and apply a job for another day. Works that simple. This wasn't good enough for one or two people on the board, and they tried to bring a motion for a waiver. And I think it's hard to waive a non-existent technicality, but I am happy to report that on the PNB, common sense held, and the motion didn't even get a second. Mm-hmm. I can't say more than that, but I did check with our VP. This is what I can tell you, and I would like to, as part of my report, bring forth a motion to commend Michael Sanchez for the wonderful job that he did in 2009, and how much we salute that, and this board wants to make sure that he is not taken out of consideration over a non-existent technicality.
Second.
Thank you. That's my report, and that motion is on the floor.
Okay, just as a point of order, if you want to make that motion separately, you could make it separately at another point.
No, sir. You can make a motion anytime you want. I'm on the floor. I have the floor. I'm on the PNB. I am making a motion. That motion should come under consideration right now.
Okay, but it has to be separately after you finish your
report. I just finished my report. I made the motion. That was the end of my report.
Okay.
Point of order. With all due respect to my colleague, Mr. O'Brien,
the PND report is not. That's fine. And I want everybody else to put the motion. I don't care if you put it off to the end of the report. I'll be happy to stipulate
this. This is exactly what I was trying to point out. We get the report, then when that section is finished, any motions that are related would come up. Any other PND director, please, you got in mind when we finish this section. Number 16. Okay, let's.
We did pass one motion regarding programming of events of national interest that they be simulcast across the network. and made available to affiliates, that was referred to the programming committee. We also, I am very pleased to say, unanimously approved Arlene Engelhardt as our permanent executive director, and I think that's a real accomplishment for this foundation, that we did so unanimously.
Mm-hmm.
I would also like to say to Sean's point regarding the waiver, I can participate in that discussion. It was an interesting discussion, and I think we are on the verge of redefining what a staff member is for point, not only as being election supervisor, but also for being a candidate and for voting. And I think that is troublesome. However, I do want to say, again, I did not participate in that discussion, and I will not vote on this motion because I am a potential candidate, and it would be a conflict of interest, I believe, for any potential candidate in this year's election to support or comment on in any way the local election supervisor for this upcoming election. I find that very problematic personally. Please do not take my lack of a vote as any statement at all on Mr. Sanchez or any other candidate for election supervisor. I simply feel that as a potential candidate, I do not have the right, nor should I use the authority of this office to influence that decision in any way.
There's a chair. Oh, there's a chair. Yeah, right here. Okay, thank you for that report. Any other PMB members?
Yeah. I won't go through a point of order. I've already said something very, not much more to say. Other than I would like to add to the fact that the IEB, the local IEB, and very happy about that, and we're able to unanimously vote on that. And also, in the process of getting that, we were able to form an evaluation that we could possibly use in the future. There were some bugs in it because at one point she stated that she read some of the results and was very upset by what some of it said. But when she read the entire evaluation, she felt much better. We will be using the evaluation, and also personnel committee are working on the evaluation for the CFO, and that will be the next task that we will be presenting and evaluating her, and we'll be able to report back to you on our findings from that.
Yes, by the time you're last, I'm going to report. There was one correction to what you had said about the, I believe the programming, the national programming thing, that we didn't refer to programming committee. We agreed that we need to form from a working group in the U.S. sale. Is that okay? Yeah. I'll continue, but she's right. We have something that will vote nationally on that. I do think we should refer to it, so I may be incorrect on that. We did pass a motion to give the other stations that are searching for general managers $1,500 a piece and fill that from the national office because they have no advertising in their budget. $2,000. So that's all the other stations can advertise the way we are, that they're getting all the extra positions. I think that's everything
that happened on Saturday. Thank you. Any other reports? Okay, now it would be appropriate to bring up a motion to let it to a plan B report.
Can we have questions?
No, we'll make that through the motion. You can make the motion.
No, I want to have questions.
Oh,
excuse me, but I'm calling for any related motions, and then we'll be glad to have them.
I move that the KLSB commend Michael Sanchez for the wonderful job he did as election supervisor in 2009, and that we strongly urge that he not be knocked out of consideration over what amounts to, on the advice of counsel, what amounts to a non-existent technicality.
Second. Any discussion? Second by Mr. Menon. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Abstentions?
Well, that's what you want to see.
I want to step away and not be
okay,
supported on
this. Abstentions? You want?
So here you go.
How much time was the rest?
It passed. But did you get the count? Any further questions for our candidates for the campaign? there's no further questions, we'll move on to interim program director Alan.
Yeah, just one point of information I saw. Did the secretary get the language of that motion that was just passed on? Okay, good. Before you leave that, I just want to talk because I want to get the exact language. I've been asked. I just got a call from our vice chair of the meeting. They want that set up very quickly because the decision is going to be made on Monday, folks.
Alan.
All right.
Thank you, everybody. I had asked for 10 minutes and 10 minutes for questions, but if you don't have 10 minutes on the agenda, I'll be less than 10 minutes, so I hope that there's time to go towards questions. First, I want to say the fund drive, the mini fund drive we just had was successful. Looks like we'll get to around $130,000 when all the money is counted from the web. Maybe just a touch short, but we're also getting, because of the economic deferred in the news, and letter from Washington has pitching on KPFA, and that will probably push us before we go to June fund drive, we'll be in a piece of that, up above $150,000. In fact, those 2 hours total parking even added in to the day we are in fund drive. So that should allow us to lower, again, for my department, I'll of course advocate for the goal of June being as low as possible. Bob will and Anthony will want to be as high as possible. But it looks like we could have a total of $900,000, which should be able to shorten the length of the drive somewhat. We're still working also on some very interesting possible so-called sleep stations, including possibly an electric car, which would be one of the electric cars coming out of the law. Hopefully we'll get that. I'm here, though, primarily in person today because there's been so much about the Arcon race. I've been asked by members of the LSC to release the full Arcon information. I've been asked by staff members to do that. From the previous program director, in those short periods, when he was PD and I became IPD, the scanning condition of the station was not to release any Arcon information. What I'm going to do, we've been getting two basically significant sets of numbers. And I'm going to share with you guys the first set that don't show because it shows that. And I'll leave you here. I'm not going to share these yet, but I will. I'm in favor of having these be completely available to everybody. That hasn't been the habit over the past 6 years. I don't know what the practices were before then at KPSK. But I suppose I want to say this, and I suppose I'm editorializing. In my sense, if you take the temperature of programmers at KPFK, people take issue with this, but I think this is, from my point of view, this is objective reality. The large balance of our programmers are more interested in the welfare of their shows than the general station. And this is a problem. It's a problem that I don't think there's any place for the board to give guidance to management on it. Unless you want to meet in general, like programmers have to understand that they don't own their hours, that they're on station and they have to perform well with the station. One-to-one, first order, of course, by being on mission in their programming. Second order, by attracting an audience. And the third order, by having that audience know the station. Obviously, a large number of shows weren't even given an opportunity to fund drive during the long stretch of the previous ED tenure. So that was sort of pushed off the table. But at any rate, you know, this tendency to believe that, you know, they get to have their show in perpetuity on KPFK or other stations for that matter is something that I do think is that they eventually want to consider in terms of guidance. But because of the kind of competitiveness and meat-first attitude that's very much perceived amongst the programmers, I do really fear that if we release the Archon information, you really have programmers going after programmers. Because there are some, you know, glaring weaknesses in our Archon numbers. And so my intention during however long my internship is that I probably will look to release these fully because I do think there should be as much light on every element of information about our community radio station as possible. So I'll be looking at after the next fund drive that will have been a year since the shift in programming in October of 2009. And shows are not performing well in their places, I don't think there's any rationale for instigating them. I also think every member of the LSB should have full access to them now. So if any of you want to come in and look at them, you're welcome to. We actually had some software problems in uploading it on my computer. I had to, in the past, when I've looked at the further breakout numbers, I had to go up to you about Jonathan Alexander's computer for some IT reason. But we're working on that. And I haven't actually seen the daily numbers since about December. What I see are how various scripts Monday through Friday work. The RRC, the company that provides this to us, actually breaks out Saturday and Sunday. So we can see how the Saturday and Sunday shows are being specifically. But we only see how the 7 p.m. hour to 3 p.m. hour, like each hour the script is due. I'll tell you this generally where we are pocketing in the morning. The large balance of our listenership is from Unique Goodman now through the book. Even that's lower than it needs to be. I mean, you know, I think everybody in Southern California should be listening to Amy Goodman. That's an outreach issue. So from the point of view of programming, we really important that we develop and grow stronger institutions. We really need an outreach because we, in our afternoon programming, our evening programming, our weekend programming, everywhere, this stuff is so essential, so unique. People don't know about it. That's another issue. So, I'm going to share these with everybody, and I'll leave them here. I am happy that our archon numbers have increased dramatically since programming changes took place in October. In my estimation, they're still way, way too low. But the increase has been quite dramatic. And in fact, the increase over the past just these last 2 months has been very dramatic. These are the sheets I'm going to show you or share with you. You'll have all the information going back to March 2009. The six-month average at the end of August 2009, before any programming changes were made, the average weekly cum was 121,000. Which is actually a number that was inflated because March 2009 was an anomaly that's going to go 6 months, where it jumped up for 1 month because of a hugely popular show that happened on the weekend 1 week. But basically, we were going at about 115,000 weekly teams. In the 6 months since, we're at 160,000 weekly teams. So that's over a 33% increase. And the last 2 months, we're above 180,000 per week. The last month, we were 187,300. So we're getting really close to 100,000. And by the way, this is just Metro LA. We're a regional station, not a metro station. We go, this is Orange County and LA County. It doesn't include Riverside County, Ventura County, Santa Barbara. So that we, and San Diego. Yes, and San Bernardino. Right? So we get to about 20 million people. This is only 12,125,000. So we probably are reaching a quarter of a million, 300,000 people right now. So we're a substantial, major, national, community public radio. Of course, we're not on par with in this metro region with KTRW, KTCC. We're still behind KTLK for all of their problems. Without seeing this, I don't want to get too big. We have a big problem with something called P1 relative to the weekly cum. The reason we do, because we're a multi-format station, those numbers fluctuate a lot and they go up and down. They actually were quite bad last month. And the reason we have a real problem with what are called P1s, P1s are the people who listen to us the most.
Okay.
And it's not the people who say, hey, KPFK is my favorite station. There probably are many, many more people than our P1s who feel that way. But what happens is, if you're even like, okay, many people may feel that way because of our health and spirituality program. But it's only on 5 hours a week plus Roy. And so they're probably going to listen to other stations more, even if they're very favorite shows on TV. Same with music. We only have music on a small amount. Their favorite music shows may be on KBFK, but they're going to listen to other stations more. And then the same with Spanish language. They're very famous. Spanish language shows may be on KBFK, but they'll listen to other stations more because there's relatively little of them. And that's even true, I think, with the public affairs political junkies. Because we have many more people listening to Democracy Now! Every day of the week, giving us 2 hours, just to take a show, for example, than our P1. So what's maybe happening with those listeners is, you know, they're public affairs junkies, and then when Local Village comes down, they tune over, and they end up, we end up getting nipped by KPTC, and they end up with T1 KPTC. But the big jump up, as I shared it with you, are in Weekly Cume and Daily Cume. And as for Daily Cume, generally people are listening as much as they listen, so that's good. And we are we had a very dramatic increase in Daily Cume from March 2010, April 2010. But as you'll see, there's gray areas and things that aren't all on the up and up. The general trend is still saying substantial increase in listeners. Again, I still think our program needs to be dramatically improved. And I'll leave these with the device.
A point of information for the question.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, I don't see public comment anywhere on the agenda. And we should
have a comment listed on the right.
Is it? Okay, because that's what we...
The right column is public comment. It's labeled at the top.
Okay, well, it's hard to denote that, guys.
It's a new improved format.
But I'm not understanding, and I apologize for that. So when is our first public comment?
It's going to be... it should have been after the PME report.
Well, I would suggest that after Mr.
Minsky...
We'll go back to our... And thank you, guys. This new format is kind of shit.
And thank you for pointing it out, because I couldn't find it.
I didn't notice the name of someone.
Okay. Yes,
my fault. What do you know about radio listenership in general in Southern California? I mean, we're up or down. Are other stations down, up? I mean, I just have someone who said that radio listenership general,
yeah, no, we're bucking trends. We're also bucking trends in the post-Obama election era for public radio. In fact, KPTC has come back to KPRW in the past 3 months. They're both...
Okay.
Well, we have 187.3 for our weekly theme. Weekly theme is considered a big number. And you know, that's the one that we're up 33%. We're now over 50% just past month, though, just 1 month. They were up at like 800,000 around the time of Obama's election, in the election cycle of 2008. They're back down in the mid 500,000. So they actually lost more listeners in Metro LA than we have. Okay? But KPRW, which was in a real slump, in part maybe because of the publicity around Ruth Seymour and the changeover, they're now right close to KPTC. Though their average quarter hour listeners still lag considerably. Which means it's very steady. And that's not unexpected with a multi-format station like KPRW. If you have one format, you're probably going to have a higher income.
Their programming hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
They
move people in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. We have Leslie.
Yes. Thank you so much, Bob, for that report.
Oh, thank you.
I thought I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Following up on what Kim was asking, if we come here and ask to see the programming by script, do you have any sense of numbers for other stations during their scripts?
Because
it strikes me that, for instance, our morning programming, you say, is our strongest programming. I would assume that's fairly universal.
Mm-hmm. There's a number on this thing that shows we finally made some headway in the afternoon, happy to say, in terms of the percent of people listening to radio in Southern California. So it's not just raw numbers in the morning. We are much higher than the percent of listeners in the morning. In fact, we do very well at 7 a.m. on 2 hours this month. And then the percent of listeners at that point is substantially higher than the radio.
Higher than the there will be a way to look.
Higher than the rest of our world.
My clarification here, there will be some sense through the day of how we're doing comparable to other stations.
Right, but we don't actually, of course, I mean, I could try to find out through some, you know, behind the scenes manner of trying to get the specific numbers in the KPRW, but I'm sort of not supposed to have those.
I just want a sense of, you know, as you say, we're very high in the morning and we're low in the afternoon because other stations rather than the listeners are low.
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations on the $150,000 approximate dollars for the 3-day fund drive. But I figured that's $50,000 a day, and we want to make $900,000, so we're looking at a month of fund drive.
So we're still looking at a long fund drive.
About a 30-day fund drive?
No. We average over $40,000 just at KPFK without the extra money from the TFA company from shows that are on our airwaves. That's money coming from KPFK. It's just that what they do is they take the area codes from Southern California and send us that money. So we averaged about 42 to 44,000, somewhere in there.
Yeah. So anything that time to get to 900,000, it's about
right.
How many days?
It's 20 to 22 days.
Okay. And I just want to make a request for all the other team members, please go in and man the phones during the fun time. Please. We have, that's the minimum we can do to raise funds.
Alan,
thank you very much for coming. It's great to be your major. I'd love to see more participation with the station manager. And obviously, I know at times things feel a little hard better organized now. We're trying to be more accountable to management. We want management to be more accountable. Likewise, the question I have on that report. The question I have on the Arbitron shows an anomaly, but December through April showed December there was more people listening out of the home than in the home, maybe 60%, 57% listening out of home, I assume in their college work, and 40% in the home. And by April, those numbers were reversed.
It's weird. I don't understand our age breakdown. Now, one of the things is we have extremely high over 75 year old listeners. Okay? Now, in the great likelihood that's why we have such a high percentage of people living in the home. It also probably says why we have such a high listenership so early in the morning. The sociology of the question is what our thinking is.
A couple of quick ones and then one that may take an extra 30 seconds.
Sure.
What was the goal? You said we raised about 130 to 150,000 in the mini fund drive. What was the goal?
Officially 100,000, but I viewed it as 120.
Okay, very good. There's three ways that we, and maybe more, I don't know, I'm not an expert, that we judge how we're getting out to the audience. One of them, of course, is Arbitrons. Then there's downloads and pledges. How are we doing on the downloads? What are we learning from our downloading? And what does that tell us when you wrap all three of those together with pledges?
Right. The whole digital divide issue would actually probably be supported by downloads. We've all seen those lists that always puts out the political, right? I mean, top shows are Jimmy Dore, you have Susie White and John Wayne, a lot of characters. And Susie's particular. I don't want to give away too much, but in some cases, if you divide it by four, assuming they're 4 weeks in a given month for a weekly show, for some of those shows, there are more people getting through the internet than at least our metro numbers. And the problem is we could get Santa Barbara, we could get how we do out there, but we'd have to pay for an extra package for our RFP to get that.
And what is those big connecting for us?
That's the group that does the...
What is our RFP stand for?
Oh, Radio Research Consortium.
Okay, thank you.
Mini company, I don't know. They're the people who do the Arcons for public radio. But we supposedly, I've never seen them, have a much higher, say, percent audience share in Santa Barbara, but it's small, much, much smaller. When you combine those three things, again, You know, it's partly that certain, like Wiener and Weissman, have had their own websites forever. They get a big listenership off of their website. They're very efficient with their blasts every week. It's just that over time, Jimmy Dore has a national reputation from Comedy Central. Very tech savvy too. So that those are helpful. Now, but the big issue there, of course, is we have been damaged by the removal of the music podcasts and the archiving. And we have to get that addressed. I haven't been the manager to spend most on top of that. It's been Zuberry mainly and Maggie. Other stations did not do this. They did the Pacifica stations, not affiliates. They're still up, I believe, on KPFA and WBAI. I believe so. They're playing with fire, and we're not, but we are damaging our audience base for these music shows, and it's a shame, and we've got to figure out a way to get around it. I mean, not get around it, to do the right thing, get over it.
Okay. One last quick one. When you talk about an increase, that means from what to what? Where did we start? How much of an increase was it?
We went from 120, well, just below 120,000. If you take out the March thing, but 120,000 to, because these are the anachronisms too. But now we're steadily at 160,000 and above. And the last 2 months were 175 and 187. So if it's 180 that we're plateauing at, then it's a 50% increase.
When we look at the number of the aircraft, they go 0.0123. How much have we jumped like that?
I think, again, from 0.02 to 0.03 or...
That accounts for 100,000 people more or less.
No, it's very that percentage thing. I think is an accumulation. It's actually figured out by not just the weekly team, but the AQH mixed in and everything too.
Well, let's move on to the next person on the list. Rico.
Yeah, thank you. Couple things. How do we know how much of this is fixed? That's one question. Another question, I heard one of the presenters saying that we're trying a new way of pitching, by pitching less. But letting you know this is the fun about the pitching less, I want to know whether that's been effective or whether it's not a reduction or increase because of that or it's been the same. Also, how can we attract more online donations and expand membership on this? I think that's something that that's a lot of money out there waiting to be passed as well.
Well, I have always felt the Spanish language programmers were really hurt by the fact that they weren't given some kind of advertising budget, especially when the station was flushed many years ago. Because, I mean, how do you get a community to know that the station in most hours of the day is one language switches to another language for a relatively small amount of time, relatively amount of time in English? Outreach is key for all of this. Outreach on the web would be a thing too, but I'm not the most tech savvy fellow, but I don't know what our listenership does on the internet. I haven't looked closely at the numbers on the Fun Drive months versus other months. What happens in the Fun Drive months in the Arbitrons is we usually get the same amount of cume. Some months it's been really low. But it's the same amount of time that the listenership listens much shorter. And the P1s especially listen for much shorter time. So that makes sense. You know, people tune out. And then, because they've given already, and then they listen to it more. But how to improve this stuff, and especially the online stuff, all I can say about the online stuff is I imagine there are many ways we can. And they have to do with all of the new social networking communications.
I'd like to say that we have exceeded the time that we allowed for this. This is a very important report, but we'd like to move on with other business. So for the people remaining, please make very, very short comments, and I'd appreciate a very short answer. But, okay, so.
I have a couple questions. Last year when we were approving the budget, when Grace was still on the board, I remember this being a big issue in the budget approval, is we doubled the amount of money we approved for Arbitron to get those specific hour-by-hour breakouts, day-by-day, every single day. Not just that we didn't. What is going on with that? And we approved it. She said we were paying for it. She said it was at all the stations. Not just us. But I mean, like, how come you're not getting that data?
We're getting it now, starting this month. I think what happened is we signed up for it at the end of last year for 4 months. And then we just didn't renew it, and then we just realized it and renewed it.
Okay, so it was like, it wasn't a year-long contract.
No, it was a month. At the time, because there were budgetary concerns, we we did it for a shorter amount. We could save more per month by signing up the longer we did.
Oh, well, that's a lot of explanation. Okay. Okay. I mean, I remember last year we were going to say that over house. The other question,
And for what it's worth, those, technically, for some reason, all that info goes to the general manager. So I have to type in and say, I'm Bob Conner, one of the
general managers.
Being a
Bob,
I'm looking at it. Okay, all right, let's just limit it to that because we have a long
list. It's really not fair. You let people go on and on. I'd rather extend for 5 minutes. You know, I had a couple other questions, but something else.
I know, but.
I would
like
to extend 5 minutes.
The problem is that we have about 7 or 8 people left, and
then I
would
need to extend 10 minutes because.
I'll do one minute answer. But let's make it really short because I asked people now because of the time to limit their comments.
The other two questions I have were previously we had higher Arbitron queues, right? And just like all the other public stations, right? Maybe they sort of dropped down to a low point last year and we're kind of building back up. I mean, we did previously have numbers like
this. There's ambiguity on that. Okay. I mean, we were higher, around 2003, 2004. We started going down in 2005. And it's
okay. Like on the money was better, obviously more people were listening. And then the last but not least question is, this is a hypothetical in the future. Do Arbitron ratings factor in at all in terms of like, I mean, they factor in on decisions of what shows you keep, but if you have disciplinary issues or problems with the show, I mean, if it's a really popular show, but the person has done something that you would maybe punish somebody with a really unpopular show, is everything needed out just to fairly regardless of...
I don't really like punishing anybody, but the... all those things come into play. Of course, if you're doing stuff that merits discipline, then you're off mission.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I want to know. But it doesn't unfairly bias
what
people
consider
popular shows.
All right, and then that
does
be biased.
So. Yeah.
Thank you. We'll move on. And again, I would ask people please to limit their comments and the answers to be shorter in the view of the time. John Parker.
Just wanted to see if we could get those electronically sent to one of the officers of the board.
Yeah,
that they could be distributed to them.
Those, I would have to do the final time on Monday.
Okay.
I hear this.
Rodrigo. Hey, Alan, what would be your suggestion to the board to develop norms to help to implement the listenership of the radio? What would be, you know, like, certain steps that can be taken in the short term, you know, that we can help to move, you know, in the improvement.
Oh, I think I have an answer which is ours.
Yeah, and the other question is, like, was there any money given to community events by, you know, former LSD or not? You know? So, like, to do community events by the way, there's two questions.
I don't understand the second one.
The second one has to do with, you know, how much funds, you know, we're giving to KPFK, you know, allocated to KPFK, so you can promote or develop, you know, or implement, you know, community events to outreach.
Unfortunately, that's the question. The person who would know that would be Jennifer Kaiser. I just don't know.
Okay.
But the first question, that was a very good question. And seriously, what I would advise, and it's just me, is the LSD should put together a motion that the KPFK managers and its volunteer coordinators should always have a set group of 10 volunteers committed to outreach.
Can you speak that loud?
Something like that is an arbitrary
just
number.
Just say it again loud.
That the KPFK management and the volunteer coordinator should always have a set team at least of 10 people whose sole focus is outreach. We have a really good new volunteer coordinator in Jessica Woods, and we need to get 10 people, and their primary concern is outreach. We have a great new volunteer by the name of Dale. She was astonished that we don't have outreach, and that we don't mobilize people specifically for outreach. So it would be outreach.
Next on the staff is Raven.
Yeah, Alan, LA Times published a report in 2009, August. In that report dealing with Arbitron, KFI has the top percentage of listeners, and KPFK is the top bottom 20% of the, you know, listeners. It's the bottom part. And it's contradicting, you know, what we have achieved now to this Arbitron being published by LA Times, that KPFK is, on the in the bottom part of 20%.
Mm-hmm. We still are, but we are still doesn't it's still it's true that we gain somewhere between 40,000 and 50,000 listeners every year. We're still, I think, in at least the bottom quarter.
Could that we have an outreach committee. We go to different communities. We ask people, you know, I collect it. They say very program, and I could report to that. And also outreach committee are coming with a proposal that to go during the fundraiser to have a live program at different LSCC, different communities, and ask people to come over there and join the SPFC to pay, rather than sitting at their station and asking people to come there. How do you see this?
I'm for as much outreach, I'm for as many public broadcasts out in the community as we can possibly get, within reason. For what it's worth, I was annoying the operations director by organizing too many. And then we had a technical problem. I don't know if you heard where we were doing the live reports from the Immigrant Rights March, but the technology kept dropping. And the internet still went back to trying to do it from a cell phone. There was a lot of noise. We eventually corrected it. We did a great job of getting rid of it.
I mean, you know, I remember very quickly, 2-3, you know, the show was happened at LSCC. There was about 120 people sitting there, but the Jesse or someone from the station was not there, you know, to get the membership, you know.
That should be better coordinated, I agree.
Okay, thank you. And then we have Brie.
Yeah, you mentioned that the vast population listening is possible. What about the number of people that have increased in listenership? Is there a breakout of where the increases in age groups are the most?
Yeah, we actually did really well. We increased right in the middle of the human lifespan.
And we did drop a little bit in the older, but I think they're just anachronisms in the statistics. I don't understand why like 65 to 74 would be so low and then over 75 would be so high. But we've done well between 35 to 44 and not as well between 45 to 54. I don't understand why. So 35 to 44 year olds are giving us a little bit more love. And then bad. We're really bad between 55 and 64. you can see. But over 75, over 65 is good. And then we do well. We have almost nothing below 17 years old. We also did better in recent, since the changes, and I'm not really sure why, in what the RCC calls Hispanic, so Latino communities. We did a little better there. We are predominantly listened to by males. That's common in radio. But that did tighten a little bit. At least the last month it tightened a little bit, yeah.
Okay, and Dutch?
I just want to say two quick things. Ray is correct in asking for more remote stuff. When we're at the events and at the communities, I don't know if you've heard that. I know we have limited equipment. Remote things on two bases. One, transmitting from the community in Lamarck Park when the event is happening and having a booth at these events. We have the outreach. I know we know that, but I'm just, again, encouraging you. A question I had on this mini fund drive. As I understand it, the purpose of a mini fund drive is to break up the fundraising so it's not all in one big clump. We don't lose our listenership. We don't really dent the station, so we gain the benefit without the negative. I understand that. I think that it was not conveyed to the programmers, or perhaps the programmers didn't feel convey that to the audience. We don't have a stupid audience. And I think that, as you said before, the programmers want to fight for the benefit of their own show, not necessarily the benefit of the station. And I thought again and again, some programmers were smart, on the ball, and part of the team. And they would come out and say, hey, we're having a mini fund drive. We're here to raise money. This is the model of the station that makes us work without commercials and corporate strings, and this is fantastic, and here's why. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other programmers that say, they're doing a mini fund drive, and I couldn't begin to tell you why, but I've got to ask for money, and boy, does this suck. Mm-hmm. I think it's incumbent upon you and your job specifically, program director, to remind these programmers that they're part of a big team and to clarify, maybe offer them the language, give them a cue sheet on the things to say, and show why it's beneficial, show how this station only exists due to the fact that we have, and why do we have a mini fund drive? To lessen the blow of the later.
We have some options in the program, hopefully, but I agree with you, I should say it more and more and be adamant.
Okay, and Margie?
You know, I really see the internet side of this becoming more and more important. I know some of the older, I scored one of the older broadcasters information. I think we all need to do that. But I know that, one of my friends applied for a job, I think at KCCC, as an internet blogger and bringing more people to the internet site. And I think that will really impact our ratings if that gets going. And I think what might be next is that when I was running for a position, the constant question that seemed to flood in was from college age people saying that I need somebody younger represented to you. And I think maybe the board should consider having a special seat for someone in that age bracket. That's one idea. The other idea is maybe we could have a team of college internet bloggers that could get internship credit or something to drive that college group to our site, and through that also it would generate their ideas because they're on the cutting edge of this. So I think we should have an interactive media team that really breaks out the kids in colleges and even those advanced high school students to give time to the station in that area, and in return, I think the station can give them credit because I know my son, I'm not promoting him, but he's going to work at Warner Brothers Interactive Division this summer, and he's getting college credit for that. So I think that we could offer like a minded, you know, program thing, and I think that would really boost the energy into the station.
Look, we're the only network that consistently asks these structural questions about the society we live in. It's an incredibly complex society, innumerable for many crises, but almost everybody across the society recognizes this crisis. We have a unique product, and we have a platform that's been on the American media scape for 6 decades now, and we got to do that because if we make a move quickly into multimedia, it can just distinctly become much, much bigger, much more social relationship. So I
okay, thank you. Ken?
Has passed.
I'd like to put myself in the queue here because there's something that comes up later. Now we're number 15, immigration clinic workshop, and this is something that I brought up earlier several months ago, and the idea would be that we would endorse a workshop that would deal with immigration issues, make some arrangements to have it done in at La Conquista Church. We get a lot of people with co-sponsorship with the station, the LSD. People's College of Law is willing to provide some people who will give us some legal advice to the people who come, and a remote broadcast from there would be very important because it can be simulcast in Spanish and in English, and it would let people know that we are a dual language station. So that is just one example that I hope we could, I think that would be
Next person,
Leslie, next on the staff. Yes, this is a wonderful report, Alan, and I thank you so much for this. I plan on not listening to KPFA anymore next year when I turn 55, but thank you for that heads up. This is my listening career for 10 years.
It happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
You wonder what happens.
20
years? I don't understand that.
Oh, I'll tell you when I get there. When it happens, I'll let you know why it's happening.
Sure.
But my question, I got a note from an involved, engaged, and attentive listener who said that one of our hosts was, during his mini fun drive, promoting their show rather than station, specifically saying, give to this show, naming the show. And the listener was wondering if money was being earmarked for specific shows because of that sort of pitching. I know it's not. You know it's not. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a real concern out, you know, that if people start pitching their shows that they're expecting, if they give because of that pitch, that show is going to be supported. Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to be keenly aware, and I think our programmers have to be keenly aware, that they cannot do that because there's an implicit agreement about how the money is going to be spent when they cross that line.
Another good point.
All right.
Are you back
here? Yeah, I thought Ken is back. And I really thought I just feel very warm and fuzzy. It's turning into a brainstorming session, but I feel we're going adrift.
Sure.
The report's been very adequate, but I think it's inadvisable for us to start discussing prospective directions in the future or more complex program policies. I would kind of call the agenda to get more close to meeting. And Rick, thank you for the report.
This is just to remind where it started, which is that everybody on the LSB is welcome to come in and look at as many detailed numbers as we have. I do request that that remains confidential from the general public, though, of course, you can talk among yourselves. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to the next portion there.
I think we're up to
we have scheduled the next meeting, and I think I already announced that we were going to look for the week of June 18th, the weekday of June 18th, and that if anybody on the LSU has any particular reason for some day not being acceptable, let me know.
The week of the 18th, but if you look from the Monday through Friday, the 18th. John, a quick informational comment. Finance is going to try to meet the week of the 7th.
John, you know, we can meet during the daytime now.
I understand.
Think about that.
And I believe that governance is also going to try to meet early. I recommend that all the other committees meet as early as they can, ideally before governance. And to that end, it might be better if we met, if the LSC met in the court week, to give time for the committees to meet before the governance committee. I mean, ideally, each committee would meet, feed its input into governance, to feed that into the other.
Well, John, there's a specific reason that I'm setting that for the week of the 18th.
And so I suggest you move it back a week.
There's a specific reason I'm setting for the 18th. So look at the week of the 18th, from the 18th, 14th, to the 18th. I will be available the other part of the week, and I'm free every day that week of the 18th. And the other week, I don't have availability. And then I'm out on a convention. So that particular week is the one week I'm available.
That could do it.
I understand.
Okay.
I
just moved to hear the reports. I want to schedule the same towards the end.
Yeah.
And are we ready to move on to the PD search function next?
Yeah, let's
move on. Okay, so I'm sorry, Sean. So you want to move the agenda?
No, I just want to move on the agenda and go back to it. I know I moved the report section up, but that did not include the schedule of the next meeting, and it definitely didn't include the adjournment. Okay.
Oh, it didn't.
Oh,
so
okay.
Next report. So I apologize for not making that clear.
All right. So
definitely not
important.
Okay. I said report. I'm sorry.
What I think I'll do is go and report out from the closed session right now and then go to unfinished business. So at the last closed session of the LSC held on April 22, 2010, board member Ian Johnson was suspended from the LSC and committees thereof for a period of 12 months for conduct unbecoming a member. Now let's see, we're ready for the next section.
We're going to have public comment.
So we could put public comment in at this point, or we could do it after unfinished business. And then our secretary
I move that we hear from the public now.
And then our secretary has arrived and he has minutes to distribute.
I think Connor moved, if I might, that it would be most logical and most helpful to the public for them to be able to speak right after we present a motion, and before we vote on that motion, so the next section is a motion, and they very likely that they want to vote, right, or have to have their comment right before we vote. So I suggest we postpone their comment, let them say whatever they want at that point, because that gives them a chance to do either.
Second that.
Yeah,
I
did.
Wait a minute. So I don't think we need a formal motion to just attend that that's what you'd like to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
especially with the listeners' one.
No, John, you know, the station is based on the shoulder of listener. Every time you see we lose the listener, they don't come, they are not interested because they are not involved. So Alan Minsky reported they should hear and respond. For some other, you know, purposes, it should not be confined just for any motion to.
I'll just note that when Alan Minsky was here, a member of the LSU went outside with him to talk to him privately, so perhaps we could get it back.
Yeah,
he's still there and still talking to that member.
We are mandated to at least 30 minutes per session. I don't know why we can't have the speaker 10 minutes after they've heard all the reports. Then we can go to the PD search motion, then they can do another 10 minutes. Then we can go through the rest of our business. At the end, they do 10 minutes. And that's what I would suggest.
Okay, so let's go to the public comment.
Yeah, let's go for 10 minutes of public comment.
For me?
You maybe ask a question.
Okay. All right. Let's say 1 minute for person, for a total of 5 minutes. Okay. 6, 7 minutes. Okay. All right, Matt. Okay. Well, I'm saying 1 minute per person. Okay. Doug Barnett.
We're competing with 60 radio signals in our signal profile. One in five of those stations is up. In other words, we're in the top 20% 18 months ago. You're suggesting we're in one in four of those stations. In other words, we're in the bottom 25% perhaps now. I say we're doing okay. The argument of whether we're doing okay money-wise is a different argument which I'm going to argue. My second point is, remote are a mature technology. We were doing remotes during the Watts riots in 1966. We were doing remotes every decade since. And since we went to an internet feed, we failed in our remotes. And we failed over and over. We failed in the first two. We failed in the last couple. We don't buy ISDN lines. I guess we don't want to talk to the phone company and get a separate ISDN line. We have an excellent location for our transmitter and our receiver to put in a line of sight. But most, 99% of events that occur within our signal area. So we don't bother. We fail instead.
Could you please speak louder?
Yeah, we want to hear all
that came here.
Okay. I want to thank Alan for his support. And I have a question if you can address it. I'd like to know what's happening with the LTAC.
Oh.
I hear that it's supposed to be announced and constituted, and I don't know what's going on with that.
Well, the problem is that the names are supposed to come to this body, but I don't know how to deliver them to the body. Is the body wrong?
Yeah, what about
it? It's the Listener Programming Advisory Committee. I've recorded a promo, but the staff members I've spoken to said that the LSB hasn't clarified their role in it.
How
does that get from that? Oh, it's different. It's an advisory body, the management, where we can take in names. So I'd actually be above the LSB to let me know where I can send the names. That's like the last part of the promo that needs to be punched in.
Okay. Where they would contact?
Where they would go. it doesn't seem appropriate for them to come to me.
Well, should they go to our community outreach director? Where is it?
Community to Reza?
I don't know. Yes?
Or to the chair of the board?
Chair of the board.
Oh, yeah, definitely the chair of the board. And not that Reza shouldn't be seen out of
town. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'll finish that this week.
Okay.
But it's then we should come in.
Yeah.
I also want to comment a little bit about outreach. The panel, Sue Welch, attended all the outreach committee meetings, and I think that it would be good if we can get Jesse started doing that. I've spoken with her once about it, but I don't know. We need to coordinate. I've been also at a lot of Swedish community events, like the Native American powwow that happened like last weekend, I believe. There were a lot of people, KPFK sponsored it, but there was no KPFK presence there at all. And there's a lot of events that happened sponsored by KPFK, and there's not even a table, there's nothing happening.
What event was that last week? I'm sorry, it was
Native American powwow.
Thank you.
I mean, one of the reasons I asked the board to motivate is that Jessica Woods doesn't work under me. You know, she works under Bob. And I'm so busy with programming, but I definitely think outreach is such a key component to us getting known.
Right.
And I think that the board should pass resolutions about, you know, a program, a volunteer coordinator, prioritizing outreach and an outreach team. I can't do that.
And as a committee, we have lots of great ideas to come up, but we don't have a system whereby to connect with management in order to make those things happen.
But again, if the board can get Bob to do that, I mean, I can ask Bob to try to do that too. Once that's in place, then you have a team to coordinate with. But again, like 10 people, so if one person drops out, another person comes in. It's the most basic thing, get the word out about KPFK, whatever ingenuity possible.
So how would that be implemented? If somebody contact Bob then from the board?
Well, the board. Bob is supposed to implement everything the board passes. That's the, or he gets judged.
So does that mean that John as the chair would be...
Would be
sorry. Yeah. But I think we're going a little bit too far in the time, and
okay.
I'd like to give other people a chance.
So, John, will you be doing that?
I don't know what it is that I'm going to be doing because I was talking to another LSB member.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sure I would if I were able to listen to every word.
Dr. Joe.
Okay. Other comments? Public comments? Terry.
The motion from George Meyer to repair the previous motion adopted by the PNB that authorized LSB to suspend members was not addressed at last night's PNB meeting, but that resolution may be repaired so as to require delegates to pretty much ratify an LSB if they suspend a member. And if that argument succeeds, then it will look like the KPFK LSB has been in breach of the bylaws and will be in continuing breach until the Los Angeles delegates ratify the LSB suspension of Ian Johnson. So you may be building up motions that you will have to come back and ratify later.
Thank you. Can you possibly send the chair and myself an email with that text as well, Terry? Essentially just summing that up. We can follow up on that.
Sure.
Thank you. Next listener question, sir.
I'm with the outreach committee.
Excellent.
And there's a picnic that you're all invited to Sunday, this coming Sunday.
Wow.
It's at Grand Park in Glendale. We have a bunch of flyers here. Most of the work has been done by Reza, the chairman of the committee. And there are four different musical groups playing, including one group that I helped happen to get to come. An Irish band.
Yay.
And especially if you grow a lot of food in your backyard, bring a lot of food. So if you're interested, pick up a flyer.
It's tomorrow, not next Sunday.
I'm sorry, it's tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you. Any further listener comments? Israel.
Yeah. Can you say a few words
all the more will be necessary, obviously. So the arbitron, in terms of the change in format, how relevant is that in terms of evaluating their reliability, you know, the old format versus the new format, and also the question of bias, number of fronts, and the limit. You mentioned that it's just the LAR and county short. How do you evaluate yourself at Arbitron in terms of reliability, relevance, context? And one more thing related to that, how do you measure in yourself if you do fund drive and online kind of figures in terms of how you evaluate listeners and support?
Well, the last thing first, they're separate things and they're very valuable. The show has no Arbitrons and zero Arbitrons and raising a ton of money for the station is far too valuable to remove. That would certainly supersede in the short term. The Arbitrons are not that reliable, but I think that when you take the station en masse and trends, then there's certainly great relevance to them. The first thing, I don't really mean by format.
Well, the Arbitron can change the format from the legitimate notebook. I was one of the guys to do that.
Right. Okay, that happened before I came in.
Yeah.
There was a big drop in a lot of the stations' numbers when they changed. And in fact, the general decline in raw numbers or the percent of population numbers has continued with the new TPM. So this trend back up at KPFK has bucked the number of trends.
And do you have any access to the older ones again?
Just know that numbers that drop in here and there. That's all they've ever been.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and one last comment?
Yeah.
Ready?
I noticed when I went out to get my shirt, I
messed up
that in my car, too.
Go look, you can keep your time back.
No. I noticed the security guard outside. I was just wondering if he couldn't ask him to come in so that we could all see him and we could all feel safer. I don't know if anybody refers to the format of the public comment, but allocating 5 minutes at these individual things doesn't seem to me to be a logical
way.
To have listener comment because there's a sign-up sheet, so the sign-up sheet is not related to the breakdown of the public comment allocated time here. I think the best way is the way we had it before. Before votes or important discussions take place, that the listener should be asked to participate and not broken down into the 5 minute session.
May I just say, Bernie, that the governance committee met just last night, so the person taking the minutes and providing that did it under those very limited circumstances. But normally we would go with the procedure you recommend, which is easier to follow.
It's easier, yeah.
And as I said, I myself was lost and couldn't find a place for public comment.
So just one other small point I want to take up, and that is the recording of volunteer hours. I spoke to Terry Guy at the station. He said he's membership director, of course, you know, and he's not interested in volunteer hours. He doesn't record them. He suggested that I, speak to Jessica, I guess, and I haven't done that yet. But I would like the LSB to make a motion to ask that a system be installed to record volunteer hours, because it's not happening now, as far as I know.
I can answer
that.
Pacific has developed a staff registry at its own expense with its own people. And I believe the PNB a couple of sessions ago mandated that everybody use the staff registry so we can figure out who is legitimately staff, both paid and unpaid. It's very important for a variety of legal reasons as well as elections.
Okay, John?
Yeah, Bernie, when you made your same comment during the Finance Committee meeting the other night, I followed up on that, and I spoke with Jessica the next day and said, do you currently have a system for recording? Speak loudly, you hear. It's just helpful to make eye contact. And I'm just going to do it, goddammit. I can't talk.
Come on, let's just try to keep this
flowing, and it's to the bottom. You're talking through the chair. You're answering questions, so please just proceed.
My point is that I can answer the question better if I can look at the eyes of the person who asked the question. I'm a long-time teacher, and I know that's how it works. So, Bernie,
John, you're out of order. You're out of order.
Sorry,
please.
I'm out of order.
Okay. Summer?
Okay. Just to respond to that, and I'll put the feeling in there.
You know what? I object, and I want to appeal the decision of the chair. This is ridiculous. You have to stop treating us like children. When the man is just trying to answer a written question, I call for a vote. No, I want to appeal the rule of the chair.
It's
seconded. All right. Now, take the vote.
I am ruling it out of order because in Robert's Rules of Order, you do it.
You can appeal any decision of the chair, sir.
There is not cross discussion.
You can appeal any ruling of the chair. Please call the vote.
Going on appeal of the
chair's decision to cut John off from being out of order for looking at somebody he's talking to.
I think it's standard procedure, but we'll go right ahead.
I don't think, you know, it's a matter of, you know, facing the listener or not. It's a matter of interruption. You know, all the time there are few people that interrupt without being recognized. That's the point.
Shall we go?
Okay.
I
want to
have
it.
I can understand among the LSC if you want us to direct it, but these are questions from listeners, and I think they may be taken into consideration in a different way than in the body of the meeting. So I don't know if we can separate it. You can talk to the listeners, but talk to you during the LSB body, I don't know.
I understand that, but I'm only saying that when we have cross-discussion, we're having extensive conversations back and forth, and that impedes the flow of information.
Summer. To concur with my colleagues, in past experience, I mean, you cut all of us off all the time for looking at people when we're responding to questions. And normally, in the past, we've only been told by the chair to direct our comments to the chair when there is contention or controversy and people are, in fact, arguing, not answering a question. When the other person starts responding and crosstalk, in fact, ensues. But we get cut off simply from making eye contact with the person who directed the question at us, so that we're forced to either stare at the floor, stare at the ceiling, or completely ignore the person who asked the question. It's insulting to us as adults to be forced to look elsewhere than that person who spoke to us, unless there's an argument occurring, in which case it's fully appropriate to say direct your comments to the chair if people are contending.
Yeah, I agree too. Yeah, you can see anybody who spoke. I agree too. As I go, my motion, I think, has to be...
May I?
Yeah.
You want me to promote it for
you? Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah.
I want to agree with John Summer and Jonathan's point. It seems to me that the bylaws are very clear that we not address each other, but who we look at is not an issue in the bylaws or in Robert's rules. That the fact of the matter is that I can't say, hey, Sean, but there's nothing to prevent me from making a comment about a subject on the floor and looking at whoever I want to look at.
Well, it was not the looking at, but the addressing of, you brought this up, and I did, so there was a cross-conversation. Gotcha.
It seems to me sort of an issue of diplomacy and personal approach to diplomacy. My understanding of the LSB rules and Robert's Rules of Order are that the LSB rules are about a law, body of law that this body agrees to abide by hard and fast. Robert's Rules is a set of rules that we have agreed to adopt to move meetings along so that everybody gets heard in order and everyone's respected and it remains decorum. It is the judgment of the leadership of the board to stick every rule out there or go by what we need to move things along. I think it's a judgment call that the chair needs to keep in mind in order to keep an amicable relationship amongst the community and members of the board, that we're respectfully keep a respectful discourse and we don't just point at every rule every time. We pull out the rules when you need to when things are falling apart.
Okay. Call the question?
Call the
question. Appeal to chair declaring John Winger out of order. Show of hands, all voting yes to appeal the chair's declaration. Please raise your hand high.
Point of order.
Point of order.
point of order.
We're voting affirmatively
to uphold the ruling of the chair.
We're voting to appeal the ruling of the chair.
Is always in the form of we support the ruling of the chair against the I vote. We oppose the ruling of the chair against the nay vote.
Very good.
Thank you. My colleague is completely correct.
In favor of John's motion. All in favor of upholding the chair, vote yes.
Yeah, okay.
All those opposed to the ruling of the chair.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm just trying to do it right.
So that point is well taken. You would vote to sustain the decision of the chair or for the rule.
Right.
In this particular instance.
And
so let's take the vote.
All those in favor?
All those in favor of holding the chair's declaration of John Winger being out of order, please raise your hand. I count zero.
Okay.
Holding chair.
Opposed.
Sorry, John.
1, 2, 3, 4.
You'll win some.
You're on board, sir. 1, 2, 3. Is that enough hands? 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay, abstentions?
10 not opposed. 1 abstention.
3.
Good.
Stand over here so we can address the
problem. Yeah, he's moving around.
The chair's declaration is not upheld.
Okay.
So, to continue my remarks, Jesse was very interested, very. She said she wasn't currently doing it. I said, well, we, the LSV, and I think you, the station management, need a systemic solution to handle this. And what I will do for you personally is I will do this for the finance committee, and I'll email it to you so you have it. And then meanwhile, I'll talk up the idea and promote it so that it happens and we get to get a systemic solution for the station. And she was very pleased to hear that.
Okay, I haven't spoken to Jessica Wood, but I have spoken to Terry Guy in the past. The reason Terry's not interested in this isn't that he's not interested, it's that Memphis is not set up as a software program to facilitate the databasing of people who have not contributed money. And that's just the way it works. It isn't set up for him to be able to keep track of who we are. And there's a difference between the staff registry for unpaid staff and volunteer hours on committees. Last year, our election supervisor had to clean up all these messy lists of all the volunteer hours, and he did it himself. It is the responsibility of the local station board and the chairs of each committee, and it is incumbent upon them to keep track of who their volunteers are, when they show up, and whether they put in their time, and submit that list to the chair, which then should go to the volunteer coordinator to database it for the election supervisor. So there is a process, but it doesn't involve Terry Guys at all. It should involve the volunteer coordinator because these are volunteer hours, but it should be kept track of by the LSE because these are our volunteers, not the station's volunteers. So just to clarify that, these are separate categories of volunteers, and we're responsible for the membership on our committee. So each chair has to take responsibility for his or her committee. And make a roster, and that has to have contact information if these people want to vote this year. So, you know, you need to get addresses, phone numbers, emails, and all that, submit it to your chair, and get it from volunteer coordinator, and that's how we develop a system. And then she can database it from there, and then she can go to your license.
Okay, just to make it clear in terms of the running of the meeting, we are now half hour beyond the running of the meeting, and I estimate that we have, the announced time is supposed to be 3:30, and we are now at... maybe another 4, and we probably have at least another 45 minutes of
an hour
of business. So,
point of personal privilege. I need to leave, and my apologies for all.
Okay, Dutch.
Being that the board started late, we commenced meeting late. I moved to be at 1 hour total of the schedule, and adjourned to 4:30.
Second.
Yeah. Good.
All those in any objection? All those in favor? I would like a little 5-minute break so that those of us who are parking are going would not have a $60 ticket. And I'll be back at 4:05. Hard time for 4:05. Everyone else can get back right now.
I'm going to go to the next one.
Okay, we're going to call the meeting back to order. As long as we have seven people here who are members of the LSP, we will be able to so let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, meeting is back in order. And all right, so let's go to our next, and I'm going to ask everybody please to be as expeditious and economical in your presentations as possible.
Okay.
All right, so we have here the CD search motion. If I'm correct, that's the next item.
Correct.
All right, so CD search motion.
That's you, who's that? Is that John
Winter? No, I don't know.
Okay, that's John.
All right. I'll pass on the chair of the personnel committee on the election.
Felt out of place.
Yeah,
we can hear you.
Okay. I was asked by the chair of the personnel committee to say we need to have a motion to create a PD search committee next month that will require STD support, following the same procedure used to select the GM search committee. 7 LSP members and 4 LSP staff members. So the idea is,
wait, are you making that motion?
I so moved.
All right.
Second.
Second.
Okay.
Please take your motion.
The idea is that you just, in order to find a really good one, you should start the search now. You search hard and long.
No, not long.
Well, as long as it takes, because we're hoping it won't happen until the GM is actually hired. So we should start to fill that. We should fill that committee. Start to create that committee. Select the people with STD voting next month. Have an election for the committee next month.
Okay. Any discussion from the LSP members?
I just
want to
support this. And it basically has people. We're getting the election for the program director search committee on next month's agenda, so we can elect people to it. And it's pretty straightforward.
All right, and public comment is yours?
No, I think this is premature and not called for. The last meeting we had on the personnel committee in the beginning, and including Ollie, who was the last acting chair, at our last meeting we said we should not do this until we complete the manager search. Yeah, for a number of reasons. One being that there may be candidates in the manager process who might very well not make it, of course, and might want to, and might be appropriate for the program director. Secondly, now I'm not going to exhaust the issue, but secondly, because if the manager is prerogative to actually select one. Now, to be sure, the pool, there can be a pool presented to the manager who does not necessarily have to accept everyone. So for these two reasons, plus some others, I think it's premature and rather redundant at this point to do that. We need to speed up the manager search and complete that, which doesn't mean you can't begin initiating a committee. That's another matter, but it shouldn't go beyond that point.
Thank you.
John, I would like to ask, so I see something, you know.
Written through the chair.
Don't you think that...
Ask your question.
Yeah, I'm asking questions, but you know, I'm referring because he's not a member. Don't you think to have the staff in that committee is conflict of interest to choose a new manager instead of having listeners to be part of it? Why a staff has to be involved?
Okay, Ken
Aaron. I think the composition of the bylaws indicates that the governance is 75% listener-sponsored representatives. We're here for the listener-sponsors, I am. And 25% representatives of staff, and the representatives of staff and representatives of listeners, and that's the way this entity, this body, has been constructed in the bylaws. And that's where the representation comes from. And I think that's adequate democratic representation, and we don't have to increase that by going out to the listeners and recruiting members of a new committee in a non-democratic fashion where only a small subset of those people geographically close enough to the station to participate, get the right to vote. We're the representatives. The LSB represents the broad body of listeners.
Thank you. Okay, Sean? Oh, no, I'm sorry, Kim.
I'm going to pass for now.
Okay, Dutch?
I think it's important that we follow the 75%, 25% rule because I understand there's a potential appearance of conflict if someone gets to choose who their boss is going to be. I understand that framing, but it's also important that people that work within the functioning of the radio station have a chance to interact with that person before someone's hired. So they do get a sense of what this person is from within the organizational memory.
Okay, Summer?
Okay, so just a couple of those issues. We spent, if I recall, an hour or an hour and a half last year debating the composition of the search committee by like one or two people. You know what I mean? Is it eight of this and seven? We did decide the whole body that 7-4 was it because it wasn't an even number. Therefore, ties could be broken. Whatever. We went through a lot of discussion last year to arrive at this number being a fair number, but hopefully don't do that again. And secondarily, just to address your issue, Israel, the reason I had some discussions with Ali, too, of putting this on the agenda so that we hold an election at next month's meeting is because things move incredibly slowly here. It's taken 6 months from the inception of the GM search committee to where we finally are getting a pool of people even to look at, never mind like a final pool of candidates, just resumes, because the advertising has taken so long. So the concept behind this was is if we elect people next month, it'll be the following month when we're meeting. The GM search committee hopefully will have selected someone. It is several months down the line before one is reviewing resumes and making a pool of candidates, and by then we should have a manager hired.
We'll
be handing
it
something to look at.
So
that would
just
move it forward.
Let's call for
a vote.
We have 2 minutes on
the
agenda for this. Okay. Call for
a
vote. All those.
I'm the maker of the motion. I really wanted to make my comment.
Please.
Okay,
just a second. So we want to draw that vote. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sensitive to what he was saying with regard to the conflict of interest. It is nominally a conflict of interest, and I'm also sensitive with Dutch that we fit in here to the 25%. The fact is, it does overinflate it. 3 out of 11 would be 27%, so that would actually give the staff slightly more than 25%, and 4 out of 11 gives, run it, right here. 4 out of 11 is 36%. So 3 out of 11 would be 27%, which is more than 25%, which is the fair share. And 4 out of 11 is 36%, which is way over the fair share. So I would like to amend my own motion to make it 3 out of 11.
The seconder of the motion, would that be acceptable?
I'd say.
Who is the seconder of the original motion?
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So is that acceptable? That's
no.
I'm sorry?
As a staff member, no.
Okay, so you do not approve that. So
I would offer a substitute motion.
Just a minute. You have to be recognized. So let's see who's next. Reza was next.
Believe it or not, this is my feeling. I am going to tell all of you here that the next manager is from staff because of this combination. That's why I oppose that this conflict of interest, you know, to have a staff to choose our next manager.
Okay, thank you. Next was Sean.
Yeah, this whole idea of conflict of interest was set to rest when they put this board together. The fact of the matter is, the way that the real world gets around conflicts of interest is they acknowledge them. And we acknowledge that the staff, you know, has the right to be on this board. They may have a conflict when they come in conflict with management, but we acknowledge that. It's okay. And Israel's point, Israel, we can run two committees in parallel, and we really have to, because we're really, you know, folks, we'll never get any real stability until we get a stable GM and a stable PD, and I'm not talking about psychologically, I'm just talking about in place. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, someone
Well, this is how we got into the hour and a half debate last year over the composition of these committees, and I had suggested then, I think, that it was like 9 listeners and 4 staff, which made it 13, but then objections got brought up because that makes it a committee of the whole, and we can, you know, we can hack over this all day long. I was the chair of the last answer committee. We certainly didn't hire anybody from staff, even though there were staff members on the committee. We totally chose somebody right from outside the group entirely. I don't think that's a fair criticism. I don't think staff favors anybody from staff. That's the whole point of getting a huge pool of candidates. So You know, we can argue over the numbers all day long, but, you know, I'd rather increase the listener representatives than reduce the staff representatives, because everybody doesn't show up at these meetings anyway.
Right.
You still only end up with 7 or 8 people actually attending the meetings. So I would be more comfortable offering a substitute to increase the staff, the listener reps to, like, 9 or something, maybe 13.
I don't know. I must have missed something in my life. I worked in various organizations. What's wrong with staff helping to select and vote for who the boss is? What's the problem with that? They're going to pick a guy, and they're going to have to work under that guy. I mean, there's a possibility there's some money involved. What's wrong with the workers assigning the boss?
Thank you.
What's wrong with that?
I thought this was a good time.
Okay, any further discussion? If not, we'll move to a vote.
What are we going to
do? The existing motion.
The existing motion, because John...
No amendment.
No
amendment. Just take that later.
Right, you're the maker of the motion, and Sean seconded it, and we're going with the original motion.
Okay, can I hear a second for my motion, please?
You already have it.
My second for my amended motion.
You didn't get one.
I thought I heard a second. Okay, wait a second. We got a second to... Oh, but you wanted to make that a friendly amendment.
No, I did not.
You didn't want
that. I don't want that. That's
okay. So we'll have to vote then on the...
Vote on the motion.
On the...
To change the number.
Yeah, oh, okay. There's no friendly amendment.
Yeah.
Just a minute, please. Hold on. So... What is the amended motion that you proposed, John?
The numbers would be 8 listener LSP members and 3 LSP staff members.
Okay, so we're going to vote on the amended motion.
Can I also substitute, or is that out of order?
At this point, it's out of order.
Okay.
We'll take that to okay. So we're going to vote.
Why is that?
Because then we have an amended motion.
No, you have an amendment to a motion. The amendment has not been approved, nor has the original motion. And if someone wants to make a substitute motion altogether, they can do that.
As I understand it, this has to be voted up or down. Then the person can make a substitute motion once we have the motion we're voting on.
You're the chair.
That's
not the way I see it.
Okay, let's go. Okay, so please, just give a parliamentary advisor who is that's correct. Okay. So please, we're going to vote on the substitute on the amended motion.
No, vote on the amendment.
We're voting on the amended the amendment to the motion.
Right.
The motion as amended by the second one. Okay. So read again what you have now without any further discussion.
The LSP shall form a PD search committee at the June 2010 meeting, following the same procedure used to select the GM search committee for left publication. Roughly the same procedure, with 8 LSP listener members and 3 LSP staff members.
All those in favor of that motion as amended by the maker of the motion, say aye and raise your hand. Okay, all those opposed?
Three
and
zero.
Okay.
Three, seven, zero.
Okay. Now we're back to the original motion, and at this point, I believe it would be in order to have a substitute motion if we were to have one.
Okay.
If someone were to make it.
Yes, okay. I would like to offer substitute motion, thank you, to address the percentage issues. And it'll probably still be off a little, but I would propose that the committee be comprised of 13 members, 9 listener reps, 4 staff reps.
Okay, that's 31%.
31%?
Yeah,
it's
better than
37. Yeah. Well, that's okay. 9? Say it again.
9.
9 and 4.
38. It needs a second. If it's not
seconded,
we have a second.
I'll second it.
Thank you.
Move and seconded. Would you accept that as a...
No.
As a substitute motion?
Yes, I accept that as a substitute motion. I accept that substitute motion.
It was seconded by somebody else.
You never asked for listener comments on any of these votes.
It'll take us too much time.
No, it isn't that. We're able to get to it. We're just trying to get to a point where we have
a motion.
A motion to vote on.
We voted on a motion.
Okay. So, Sean. No, I got nothing to say. I think a substitute motion at this point is more destructive than constructive. I see no problem with the motion as it stands. And we know this system works. It worked for us last year. When we put a GM in place who was from outside the Pacifica family. Thank you.
Okay, we'll call for the vote then without objection.
We're voting on the substitute motion.
Yes.
The only thing I'd say is by increasing the numbers, it just makes it more difficult to reach quorum. I mean, we have enough problems getting people to show up.
Just a little minute, I'm not even there because I don't care.
We'll call for a vote. All those in favor of the substitute motion?
What's the percentage?
Nine and four.
Nine and four.
All right. All those in favor, raise your hand.
In favor of summer substitute motion.
In favor of nine and four. All right. All those opposed?
Abstentions?
None. All right, so the substitute motion has passed.
And you might understand that now we have put together a GM search committee and a programming committee with different representations.
That's
what we've done now.
That is correct.
I think I'm going to withdraw from both committees. That's not good.
What's happening? I'm sorry, Tom?
We now have two committees, a GM search committee, a PD committee, differently comprised, different numbers.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Well,
and I'm going to probably withdraw from all of them.
Okay.
Well, because now forms are much tougher. It's just more of a headache, you know? And I'm getting tired of panic.
The motion is passed.
People that have been rejected 25%.
Do we have any other comments, public comments?
All of those people that are so fervently invested in the 25% principle for staff being involved on every selection committee in this foundation are... To have voted against a 31% or even a 27% would seems to be like inimical to what they were fervently promoting. 25% is not 37%, it's not 31%, and it's not... So if those people that didn't vote for the 27% amendment, which I would have thought would be perfect, because it's the closest thing to the 25% that you could get. So what I'm saying is, it's no surprise that staff members are going to promote staff members. It's no surprise whatsoever. The issue is equality. The issue is what do the bylaws say and what is fair under the bylaws. And so I think that you made a big mistake, but you know that's just my opinion.
All right, Dutch.
Just to respond to that, right? Looking at the percentages, whether it's 25%, 27, 31, whatever. If it's 4-9, staff members are firmly in the minority, in a small minority. And the four people on that committee, it's very unlikely that they will be able to railroad their own agenda through. I think we've got a vast majority of listeners on that committee. So no matter what four staff members do, and they provide a very important voice to that committee, I think, they won't be able to just steer their own agenda.
Okay, we are now at the announced time for adjournment. 1 hour beyond the time of the end of the meeting.
I request extension for 5 minutes to at least handle the Arbitron's motion, which should go right through based on the meeting presence of the PD that was here.
Okay. Request for extension of time for five minutes.
And I need 5 minutes to let you know something about some amendments that are coming up.
Oh, he didn't get a chance to speak.
Okay, but let's just address this one issue. It's 5 minutes. If it doesn't have a second, then... will not move
forward.
What? Second. Now, second for an extra 5 minutes. All those in favor, an extra 5 minutes, please.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Opposed? Okay. And abstaining? All right. 5 minutes.
And it goes to Sean, because he had the call.
I'll do it in three. Let me do it in three. Let me get this out of the way, folks. First of all, the confidentiality statements that you signed were incomplete. Somebody took out the confidentiality clause before they printed it. So we'll be fixing that for you. There's going to be a bylaws amendment proposed to change the time that it takes to do a bylaws. And for those that don't know, it gets proposed to the PNB. Then the PNB, if they support it, sends it around to all five sister stations who all vote on it. We have to get three of the sister stations to agree to it to create a bylaws amendment. Here's the problem. The original framers put in, we had to do all that within the calendar month that the amendment is proposed. Well, that's pretty restrictive, okay? So there's going to be a proposal for either 60 or 90 days to make the process 60 to 90 days longer. So we have plenty of time to consider a bylaws amendment, argue it, and vote on it. This is a common sense approach to amendments, and I don't think there's any political or partisan favorship here, because really, guys, bylaws are the most important thing we have, and to think that in amending them we have less than 30 days really does this foundation a disservice. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Next one.
Okay, wait a minute now. Are we now at auditorium?
Yeah.
Auditorium. John Langer. Okay, we are very close to the button.
Yeah, well, let's go.
Go ahead.
It's right in front of you. The idea is we need to get the data. Station manager provides real-time total access to the Arbitron raw data, including historical data, to LSP members, programmers, station staff. Now I'd like to...
I did.
Okay. All right. Speak to your motion. It's our fiduciary duty to keep an eye on our stuff here. I don't want to drive 34 miles to the station to do it. I need to be able to pull up my computer, finance, and do all kinds of calculations in terms of you know, interrelating Arbitrons to downloads and all the rest. We can calculate dollars per Arbitron point, et cetera, et cetera. We can do the metrics. This is all the programmers that I've spoken to, about 100% of the people, the programmers want to see it, the producers want to see it, Megan and Pete wants to see it, et cetera, et cetera. Private radio stations put their data up on the wall, they use it for advertising, et cetera, et cetera. Our listeners deserve the same rights as advertisers.
Well, this is not for the listeners.
No, it's not. But in general, we need to open this thing up fully, and at the very least, we should have the data so we can do our duty and keep an eye on our radio product.
Okay, let's move.
All I would ask is if there's no further discussion, then we would move to vote.
Okay.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Abstentions? One abstention.
Mr. Chair, we have a little problem here. This should have been on the agenda, too, and we should be able to deal with it very quickly. Our treasurer resigned.
Okay.
Okay, you got that? Okay.
We were just discussing how.
We're trying to figure out how to squeeze 45 minutes.
Maybe I make a suggestion.
Yeah.
Could we ask if there's any objection to Mr. Wainer, who's the Vice Chair of Treasury,
trying to move through the agenda, so I would entertain a motion.
We had a time certain problem. I apologize.
But we're already through it, and so now we can use up our 5 minutes. As I see it. And now we have...
Okay, motion to extend.
Oh, okay, hold on. We have 7 through 15 remaining. And then we have other announcements.
Yeah, sure.
Especially... Excuse me.
Is that okay?
And you wait to be acknowledged, please. So we have 7 through 15. We could move it to next month's agenda. Or we could try to expeditiously move through the 5, 10, 15, 20, 21 minutes plus of the agenda.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I appreciate all the important things we're dealing with here on this agenda, but we have a big finance committee meeting coming up, and we need to have the treasurer there representing KPF.
Okay, we need to.
And this is critical.
We need to follow.
Oh, I make a motion for a two-thirds vote to change the agenda, and so that we can deal with this. And if nobody objects, it should take 2 minutes.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. You have now made a motion that would require two-thirds to insert this into our agenda.
First,
next
order. It's an announcement.
Okay, hold on. So we have a second for that?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? One. Any abstentions? None. Okay, you have your motion.
Yeah, just to speak to that, it's not even anything that requires action. It's a set of complaint. The treasurer has resigned. John Langer, the chair of the finance committee, was the next vote-getter. He's the ultimate. This all happened last year when I was treasurer, and then someone replaced me, and then she resigned, and I went back to being treasurer because I was the next vote-getter. It doesn't require any action on her. It simply requires maybe a record of it that John Langer is now the new treasurer because he's the ultimate. And so I hope that we can simply put that in the record. It shouldn't require any action.
Yeah, and I accept it.
Thank you.
Yes, you're very step.
I would prefer to have a motion ratifying that statement so that it's clear that the audience has ratified.
I'd like to make a motion to accept and ratify the statement
of John Lindley and the Secretary. Second. All right. Without any further debate, we'll move immediately to a vote. All those in favor of having John Lindley become the new treasurer, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
Comment when board members leave early, as we all have scheduled throughout the lives, so that a board member, for example, leave early this afternoon saying, I have to leave at this time, who was still on the porch talking, got until a minute ago. So that's not actually leaving. If you really have to leave, you really have to leave. That's acceptable, and that's great. We all understand. If you're stepping out to go have a conversation during the duration of the meeting, unacceptable, and I don't think we should allow that. The motion that I have is to move items 7 through 15 to next month's meeting.
Second.
Without any opposition, it has been moved and seconded to move items 7 through 15 to next month's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying
aye. Well, can we do number 9? Oh, no.
So, the motion on the end is something quite different. If you object, otherwise, let's vote.
Let's call the question.
Without objection, we'll move to the. All right, so the veterans are called for, two-thirds vote required. All those in favor of closing debate? Signify the closing debate. On call for the question is required, those who are vote. Please allow the chair to just bring things more rapidly. Okay, so all those in favor of putting items, of closing debate on whether to put items 7 through 15 on next month's agenda, please say aye, requires two-thirds vote.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention. Okay, the motion carries. Now we'll move to whether we should actually move this. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Motion passed. Okay. Okay, I just want to address the issue that came up, and it was one that was very important and extensively discussed in emails concerning the PROC. So I want people just to know that there's a certain timeline and there's a certain legitimacy to the process that was followed in the most recent restarting of the PROC. On Friday, May 7th, I received an email from Sharon Gluck, who is a member of the public and formerly served in a number of positions within the LSC committees. And she indicated that RZA
board was interested in becoming or convening the meeting of the PRRC, which I welcomed. I wasn't aware of that at that point. It was something that's called to my attention. And I immediately, as soon as I received the email, sent out a request to all of the members on the LSB to let me know if they had participated, if they would like to continue. And because of what I consider to be the urgency of the matter, I waited 24 hours after I had sent the notice, and on the next day, I had only talked to one person who I had made a call to Reza and sent an email. I only heard from one person who was willing, of the people who responded, to convene the committee. So Ken Aarons indicated his willingness to convene the committee. Now, please understand that a convener has just had a convener bring the group together, and then they proceed with their business to elect a temporary chair. So then, late the next night, that Saturday at 6, 10:30 at night, I didn't get it until the next day, on Monday, Reza indicated that he wanted to convene a meeting. But at that point, the convener had already been named, and I emailed Reza back on that Monday, saying that the opportunity had been, people who were interested had responded to me, because I wanted to hear directly from someone. I didn't want to have, by proxy, by the way, someone was interested, because how do I know that the person is interested unless I hear from the person? Just as we tried to do tonight, really. With John Wayne, making sure that he agreed to be the main treasurer. So I just would ask people, please, to respect process and go with the meeting that the meetings that are called by Ken Aaron. Please remember that the only thing a convener is doing is convening the meeting. He's bringing the meeting together, just like when we had the meeting at Palms, the first meeting in December. Steve Weatherwax came in. He convened the meeting. He had no other function than to bring the meeting together. They elected at that time the chair. In this case, they would elect the temporary or the chair pro tem. Membership would then be established in accordance with established procedures. And within 90 days, the final decision would be made in terms of what the committee wants to be their leadership. So I would ask everybody involved, please, to one, be respectful of everybody. Please respect process, because we can get through everything. We can work together and get everything that we need to get accomplished, and we can actually strengthen the LSB by trying to work in a positively oriented way. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think you are not giving the whole information. It's part of it. After Sherna, I send you email and I ask you to send me back the name of the, you know, member. Right? You did not respond, and I send you email that I'm going to convene, you know, program oversight committee on May 25th. It was done already. Let John be clear what was wrong with my email, which you did not respond, and I sent it to our friends to announce it.
Yes.
Way before 7 days. Anyway, what happened last Tuesday, the member of the cross, they decided this is illegal and we are going to have May 25th cross committee. That date is announced, and I'm announcing we are going to have the meeting 7:30 at the station.
Well, there are only two things to say. First of all, that the timeline that I described it, by the time any communication was received from you, I already named the convener. You haven't responded to both.
It's illegal.
You have not responded to the email or to the...
It's illegal because I announced it way before he decided.
Two points. Firstly, I've seen some of the emails go around where other people are talking on behalf of a third party, which is wholly inappropriate. When person A says that person B is unhappy, unrepresented, etc., it doesn't mean anything if the person B speaks for themselves. So in this instance, when Sherikwa sends you an email that raises a need to whatever, If you need to get it from the horse's mouth, and Reza, you need to be there to speak for yourself. So Sherna or Leslie or whoever cannot speak on your behalf. Okay, that's just
fact. The situation in this instance, the reason we have Robert's rules right now is important. Things should always go through the chair. If you say you tried to contact the chair and he didn't respond, and then you went ahead and held the meeting anyway, that is an inappropriate meeting. I'm not going to use the word illegal that you've used again and again, because this is not a court of law. That's where that word counts. It was inappropriate and not the way it should be done. Everything should go through a funnel of one person, the chair. That's not only respectful, but it creates an order, a sense of order, so that everyone's on the same page. What would keep you from convening a meeting, Ken from convening a meeting, John from convening a meeting, because no one talks to anybody? You have to go through the chair, get a response. If you don't get a response, call again, call the station, call the vice chair, call somebody until you know for sure. Your meetings cannot have counted if it wasn't noticed through the chair. My apologies, but if you're going to use the word illegal meeting, it would count more than the meeting you had not going through the chair. Thank you.
Whatever happens, but Ray said was saying there's a meeting that he convened for next Tuesday. I've never been notified of that meeting. I was never notified by any of Ray's meetings or would-be meetings. And that meeting is not legitimate. It's not on the website. And no members, or some members, I don't know, this member was never notified properly. And I don't know how they can reserve the KPFA room for a non-LSC meeting.
Well, and Ken.
My concern...
Would the person who had the Honda, would they like to stay beginning 4KL?
Honda? My major concern on this is the body for the Program Oversight Committee is not composed exclusively of past members. It's open to any listeners who want to join the committee. All meetings have to be noticed publicly. We want to include a broad participation from our listeners. The people who used to be on the committee, of course, to continue. Policy for Staffing Committees is on the website. It's called KPFK Staffing Policy. And everybody should be allowed to participate. We want to be inclusive, not exclusive. So notifying people who were on the committee in the past, or that you happen to know, is inadequate.
Yes.
Terry could, talk and explain. I sent the email to him. He's being assigned to send the email to everybody. That was, I followed the procedure and he did that. Anyway, the people came, 25 people objected, the 5 people that they rejected, there is no meeting. They are going to come Tuesday, and it's the people that they were part of that committee are going to decide to have a Program Oversight Committee or not. This is the, the masses decide,
Dutch.
I'll acknowledge that we are a station of the people, and if anything, we lean toward a more socialist model or maybe even anarchist model, and I agree with you. However, there are procedures in place for a very important reason. If Fred Smith will come up with a fictitious name, decides to hold the overthrow KPFK committee, notices everybody, doesn't tell the chair, not an official committee, 50 people show up and they decide, hey, it's time to burn down the station, it doesn't make it okay. You have to go through the chair and get officially noticed, because there are people in this room that didn't know about it. I didn't know about it, okay? That's why there is a methodology in place. So the meeting, in my opinion, as a fellow board member, the meeting that you held the first time without going through the chair, without properly noticing it, doesn't count. Ken was appointed to convene a meeting, not to chair it, to convene a meeting. Unfortunately for you, that meeting counts. If you hold a second meeting that hasn't been appropriately noticed and put through the chair, not only does it not count, but it starts to constitute, now that you know that it's not appropriate, it starts to constitute a breach of your duty as a board member.
I agree.
I just want to say that you're sending, sending an email to Terry to, is not part of process. It has to go from Raisa to John, and then John's the only one who has authority to ask Terry to post it on the website and send it out.
Okay, I will. I have to
I actually excuse myself. I can't say anything. Okay. John, we're actually going to end on time, and we're going to really celebrate now. Okay. All right, I'm going to come back this way, and then I would like to ask Terry Goodman to say a word about this issue. Go ahead.
This is going to go off track, but I just want to note that I would like to carry over the next month's motion on behalf of one of the public people speaking.
Absolutely. And we were very happy to do that. But from what I would recommend that you do is to send that motion to the Governance Committee, Rico Ross. And I would say a copy of John Langer, who's the co-chair, and Ken Aaron, who's the secretary. I'd like to know that you would like to add that to the agenda.
There are two ways to look at this Tuesday's meeting. The first was to raise a call to it. The second was when it reached there by a different route. That was when Aaron called to open the meeting on Tuesday. Rodrigo was picked as chairman, and the group as a whole voted to meet next to adjourn at the meet this coming Tuesday. That's the second route, that's the route we're taking.
Okay, and as I understand that meeting, he was named a facilitator, which is not saying as a temporary chair. But, go ahead,
I sent 15 emails out 2 weeks ago. I got zero acknowledgments. I forwarded each and every board member meeting that I had created minutes for in WordPad to all board members and to the chair. I got absolutely no acknowledgment for that. This discussion is about running governance of a $100 million corporation through Facebook. If you want to buy up all Facebook accounts and demand that all board members and players all look at their Facebook seven times a day, then maybe we can run governance through internet. No chair has acknowledged that I emailed these before each meeting for the past 14 months. I never heard a word. Each meeting for 14 months, I've run 26 copies in paper for you guys to look over, because that's how I see governance. It occurs right here in this room. They're still sitting there. You've never looked at the damn thing, and they get thrown away. I don't even know what happened to the files. You can't do governance through the internet, and you've just proven it, and this is a comedy.
All right, thank you.
That's my proof of the email is posted.
Didn't you also send those out on the internet?
Yes,
you did send them out on the internet, okay? Very good. So, I don't understand why you're condemning the internet.
Excuse me?
I don't understand why you're condemning the internet.
Because are you listening here? The internet cannot conduct governance. It won't.
We're delivering information. What I'm talking about is just delivering information.
We're delivering decisions because somebody didn't pick up the damn phone. But the guy on the phone, it's their email. They didn't pick up their email.
I also called Reza.
But as a juror provided the phone number, I have a record that I called and provided information. Terry, would you say something? Because I think what you had to say, and remember the timeline. Terry, might be very
interesting. I don't understand.
Okay, please listen. Please give Terry your best. Listen to him.
Yeah, I don't understand the whole controversy over conveners. A convener is just a convenience to get something happening.
Started, yeah.
The only legal meeting last month of the program oversight committee, because there was not, I believe, an announcement at the prior meeting, was the one posted at the website. And with Ken selected as convener, all he had to do was say, will the meeting please come to order, nominations are open for peer pro temp. and then he just did that. And whoever the people there
wanted to be chair for that meeting to be selected as chair. And the only problem I see with the chair not choosing a convener for any committee is that convener, you know, maliciously chooses a date that is inconvenient for a certain portion of the committee.
Right.
It was just to facilitate getting a meeting out.
And let me turn just on that note.
Really a straw man.
I copied everybody on who's let's see, Reza sent me his response, the only response that I received, 10:33 p.m. on Sunday. That was more than a day after I sent the initial notice that I had chosen Ken Aaron as the convener. Had Reza responded to my email immediately, there would have been no problem whatsoever, but I didn't have anybody who had responded. So when Reza responded the day after I had been Ken as convener, this is what I wrote. Reza, acting in a timely manner, I appointed Ken Aaron, convener of the PROC, who has a set. Most interested LSC members contacted me directly within hours of my request on Saturday. I emailed and left you a phone message, but received no reply until your email sent late Sunday night. I have copied candidate your email and my reply. If you have any questions about the PROC, please contact him. And I think that Terry's point is very well made. The convener is the person who brings the meeting together, the body and the side, where to go next. Who the chairman of the
yes, that's the question. Just in the order of policy and functionality, Terry, you get a information from the chair, you blast out to the LSP, that's your task that you've taken on, correct?
Yes.
And you can only get information.
I have a web posting, and I don't have members of all committees, so I can't. But if the committee chair has to do that.
Right. So my understanding is that the chair has to give you this information. Not anyone can call you and say or email you, please hit the LSP list with this announcement at this meeting. My understanding is that is the procedure by which we go. That keeps a sense of order and organization, so there's not two simultaneous meetings. That being the case, shouldn't be taking notices from anyone that claims that they're a committee chair. Please notify my meeting. That's not your task. I would believe that John will make himself even more accessible. I know you're BlackBerry regularly check his email, that when we do have a question, we're going to post something, we post it through John. John, you're going to be diligent about doing that because you have been consistently since you've been chair. So I don't think, Terry, you can take anyone's list other than John. You have to go through the chair for a reason, and I also go through John.
Yes, I think we already met. We asked sort of during a long time ago.
Well, what are we going to do about you?
Two issues. First of all, there was only one legally convened meeting. Those were those meetings called by Ken Aaron. Second, the thing that holds with the emails are the emails that are sent by Terry in response to something sent through the chair. And the same thing with the use of station facilities. They also, the station requires that it go through the chair simply because it avoids the difficulty of having people raising issues and coming to the station. And there may be very, very responsible people who act in a very good way. But the station, as I understand it, has been overwhelmed in the last few months and perhaps over the last year with people who routinely use the facilities without checking with anybody. So that's why they wanted to have this done. If we end up with responsible use, that would be the story of part. John.
Just a couple of technical comments. I'm an internet expert and used to work at Northrop Grumman investigating new technologies. There's lots of reasons why the internet fails, and in general, a single point of failure kinds of problems. The internet was originally developed to deliver nuclear missile launch codes redundantly throughout the world so that whatever part of the network got hurt, it kept on going through. If you brought your message to a single person, you could, and also there's an increasing spam problem, so they're taking countermeasures, it can be blocked. So the way to do it, the way to get make sure your message gets through, just like a nuclear missile launch code, is you want your message to go through multiple paths, to multiple people, and
by all means, if they send the Senate to John Trumbull, but if you also send it to other people, then you're protected against any network failure, any anti-spam measure, whatever. Just understand that's how it works, and that it will always work that way.
Everybody got that?
I'd like to give my response to Jim. Jim makes a very good point on that.
Well, Doug has a hand up.
Doug, if you want to go first.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I just want it on the record to raise us. We've cleared the slate now. I think we have an understanding that you now are clear on the process. The process says to convene a meeting, it has to go through the chair. We have a convener in place. I think you would make an excellent chair for the meeting if you want to run the meeting. However, you now know that you need to attend the meeting convened by 10, and you guys hold an election. Whatever you want to do, that's the meeting you need to attend. If you continue to choose to hold a second parallel meeting, I believe, as another member, you would be in breach. I just want you to be clear about that. If you go by the processes, you now know, we all know that you know, you meet with a meeting. If you hold an election, do whatever you want to do. That's the legitimate way. If you hold a separate meeting, I think you'll be in breach, and that will put you at risk with the board.
Thank you.
I'm supporting you. I'm going to
be next to Jan Johnson. Thank you. Don't threaten me.
Did you see that it's for the white people? This fucking war is for the white people.
Oh, it's 3.5 minutes. Is that what our front page? Three and a half minutes to download the front page of KGFK.org if you have dialogue. You don't have a fucking clue.
No, calm down.
I don't have Facebook, and I wouldn't. Fuck you guys.
What's Facebook?
It's all in paper there. That's how bad it's happened in this country. On paper.
Make a motion that the secretary note that.
Yeah, please make a motion that our secretary.
I don't want to make it all into the block here. I live on that, I would know that. That, you know, who's going to pay $120 each time? Who's going to take you?
Could you repeat that, Ray?
I'll put it out on the
Well, obviously, that's what I'm going to put on the agenda for next month,
I've
been trying to get some public comments that I have gone to. The meeting is up in adjournment, and you are still welcome to talk.
It's adjourned?
It's not adjourned, and you are still welcome to talk. I've just been waiting for LSD members to finish, and as long as their hands are raised, we're going to end and go to the public. Yes.
Okay, I just have one thing to say on the whole notice. I know that you and Doug, that you're trying to keep control over the chaos, but this whole problem is going through the chair and general manager to get approval to use the station for me. And the branding was never, ever done on this board before. And I know it's a lot because obviously some people would call the meeting out of the blue, but it's something we're going to still wait at the next meeting. And we can't be excluded from you to build all the months out of the year into our governance.
No, we're not talking about the defense or the line drive or anything else. We're only talking about if you want to use...
Well, I mean, even the process is on the chair. We only got a national board, we've never done a global board. We're saying whoever the chair of the committee or the convener of the committee notices the meeting. And I know you're trying to do this to keep it straight, but this is a brand new model.
I think what we have to do is to demonstrate that we're not doing the process.
Well, I know it's
been
used lately by state management to not allow people to hold meetings, and that is
I have never had a situation in which a person wanted to have a meeting and not allowed to have a meeting.
Well, I had a meeting canceled last week, and
well, that was probably during the fundraiser.
Yeah, but that's the point. We can't not use the stage during the fundraiser. We have fundraiser 3 months a year. I mean, we don't govern.
You need a treasurer, you need to appoint a replacement for the election committee.
No, we already have that. He was the alternate. That was automatic.
And we had also said that May we would elect a new treasurer. Secretary.
Oh, secretary. Well, it's definitely on the agenda because that was totally a presentation of reality.
That's right.
Well, and it was echoed earlier by Lester.
But we haven't gotten minutes for months, and I know personally that he prepared all the minutes for that 9 months for me one night at the station because they were there doing it, and we hadn't gotten minutes for the previous
month. And I spent 4 hours putting this together to turn them out to you.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that it was echoed by Lester, so
we want to make sure that communication is clear and reflect what really happened.
Yes. Right. Well, also, we're not getting secretarial, we're saying something that doesn't happen. Right? So I'm not sure we're getting what we want to do.
We have not adjourned yet, and I would entertain a motion to deal with that.
No motion.
I said we have not adjourned yet, and I would entertain a motion to bring the issue of the...
He said the next time you ask for entertaining a motion,
you're going to do it in a more literal fashion.
I would like
Let
to...
me entertain your motion to bring up the issue of the... Secretary, at the next meeting.
I move that
Yes.
we hold an election next month for Secretary.
All right.
Secretary. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Vote. Now public. Public, please. Public. 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 Well.
Okay.
Elise, yes. Go ahead. Please. Trying to get to the public. I've been doing this whole time. I'll come back. I'll come around. Go ahead.
About the proceedings, regarding convenience, the interim general manager is supposed to be aware. He has been involved. I'm supposed to be there. I believe he is. And that date of which Ken chose the meeting, he was not available. No one.
You mean the interim program director?
Correct. Right. He was not there. I mean, if we're talking about having convening a meeting properly, that would have been a proper step to find out if he could be there, which, as I understand it, I did check with Alan first, and chose the date where Alan could be there, which did not happen. So, just relating to what Terry said about convenience. What about your main point about respect? Respect is not only for a few people who maybe have Blackberries and they can give us their messages right away. Respect is for everyone, including process. Process has been part of procedure. It's been part of, KPMK and RSC. And this is all new procedures that are not part of the way things have been done. There's committee has been meeting for a long time. The committee had agendas. The committee had people who were involved and very actively engaged. And they were left out of the whole process. And that's totally inappropriate, as I see. I also have a few proposals that I'd like to make to this little skeleton crew here, people, which is that all the meetings be audio taped. The LSD meetings, there's a tape of course.
Yeah,
all
that's
night.
What that is.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what that is. And I post them every month.
Okay, very good. But it might be a good idea to have the committee meeting audio taped, just as a general rule, because sometimes there's some discussion about what happened or what should have happened, what didn't happen at these meetings, and perhaps if they were all taped, we would have a record of that. I'd also like to propose that the secretary, who does not have a car, that somebody on the board, either the chair or vice chair, ensure that that person has a ride, that they can be here on time. He's been hired to work for the board, and I think it would only be fair that the board get a ride for him and make sure that he's here to do his job.
He's pointed out that, yes. Just to alert you, at the national level, all of the committee meetings are streamed over the internet, except for those that have to be remain confidential. And you can listen to them archived by going to kpftx.org. No, the national level. So the problem of doing it's a fantastic suggestion. If you can collect a group of volunteers to do the work, great.
Okay.
I don't want to comment about the thing about transporting the secretary,
We need a secretary to arrive.
We're coming back to the public.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting the public comments. I just wanted to make you aware.
Okay.
KPTFX, that's all it is. National Meetings Archive.
For a record, not.
Okay.
It's almost 20 times the 11th. Two or three quick points. One is, to my knowledge, unless someone else can say otherwise, there was no on-air announcement of this meeting. Now, this has been a problem for years. Yeah, I'm repeating myself. I've said this for 6 years. But this should be done. So not just isn't just the usual suspects, no matter how long hence they are, to come to these. The other point is the problem with the committee is there's no clear membership of who is the member.
There's a policy called KPI.
But it hasn't been affected the last few months.
Quite so many.
And one of the parts of that was,
why don't you help us?
Why don't you let me speak about being interrupted and put down? I get sick of this, you know, too.
Okay.
Thank you. The problem is that part of that policy you talked about includes on-air announcements well in time so people who aren't on the inside of the suspect can be part of it. This has never happened this time either. Not a point of the finger of any one person. The point is the process is so faulty. Or what you said earlier about John's idea of how meetings should be arranged. I agree with you, but I understand what he's saying. The point is, the word has to get around more intensively so people can't say, I didn't know about it, I didn't hear. There's nothing wrong with what people are suggesting, but there is something wrong with enforcing it in a rigorous way when it isn't clear to everybody, which I think is what you were saying and I've been saying. Anyhow, these are two of the points on that lay at the bottom of some of the controversies vis-a-vis the PRLC.
And let me just address that it is really, because it's an ongoing issue. What I've been trying to do is to make sure that everybody is noticed so that if there is a meeting, everyone knows there's a meeting, they understand it, the members of the public know it, there's an easy mechanism. We'd love to see, as I said the other day, you know, the Ford Amphitheater with the LSB meeting because there's so many members of the public who are there and want to participate. But the whole idea is that we want to increase our outreach and we want the public to be here and appreciate the public who is here, but we need to increase those people. And so by properly noticing the meeting, it gives a mechanism, by giving us sufficient time, it gives a mechanism by providing lists of members of the committee, it gives a mechanism, all those things to make the committee function and reach a larger group.
We're not just bringing anything to that.
I know, I'm just saying
that. A couple of quick points before I leave, probably ending quorum. Number one, I'm sorry, I don't know your name, I apologize.
Ali,
to your point, I wish that all the meetings on the committees could be taped too, but it's really technologically a hard thing. It's hard to tape them at the PNB, you should see how crazy it gets trying to, with everybody's schedule. But that's also, I remind you, what minutes are for. And I know that our minutes aren't always completely up to snuff, but they're there not just for our edification, but so that the public can see what we voted on, what motions we put forth, and I hope that gives you some guidance. As the last extension of time ran out at approximately 4:30, this meeting has now been over for 40-some minutes. Because we are at time, folks. It doesn't take an adjournment. So, adios, my friend.
We can't go on.
Well, we do have 7 people.
Yeah, we do. In there.
No, you cannot go right now because this meeting officially ended without an extension of time.
We're not trying to. I think we're just trying to hash out some problems that people are having, I think. I was going to say something, well, give you a couple of things that have come up. On-air announcements, this is a continuous and ongoing problem. If you do not go in the studio and record your own on-air announcement, nobody will do it for you, and that is a guarantee. You can rattle the chains at staff until you are bleeding from your head. Nobody's going to record it for you, as I can attest to the PNB meeting, because it didn't matter that it was the PNB and the entire network was coming to Los Angeles, and it didn't seem to matter that I informed 3 different staff members a week and a half earlier that an on-air announcement needed to be made, and I did this repeatedly. And an on-air announcement wasn't made until I went in and recorded it at 1 in the morning with the help of somebody who was working around a computer who knew how the equipment worked. And that's the only reason we had any announcements whatsoever in Los Angeles that there was a PNB meeting here. And John sent it out to everybody, and it's amazing. Then it started playing. The next day, I heard my voice 5 times on the day before the PNB meeting started. Okay? And what I'm saying is if you want to have on-air announcements at these LSC meetings, then you, John, or you, Dutch, someone is going to have to go in and physically record them. every month.
And then
any of them have to, you know, Jennifer Kaiser, the program director, and Matt Torres, because he's the one who handles station on-air traffic, and if you don't get it to him, it won't go anywhere.
Okay, being aware of that, being aware
what
of that
I'm saying
now.
Is this ongoing problem, it must be fixed individually.
But being aware of that now, I will make sure that the next LSD meeting is noticed.
Yeah, it's a sad commentary, but it is reality, and then that's by each chair.
And in the bottle.
Well, yeah. I'm just trying to like point
change. Okay.
Okay.
Elise, I just want to, for Reza to invite Alan Minsky to a meeting where half of the members are not notified is very disturbing to me. And I was never notified of his meeting. Nor was Ken or John or half of, I mean, the history is. Ian convened the meeting in January, Ian convened the meeting in February, for which I both went. I went to both of those.
Tempted to convene. They weren't properly noticed.
Well, I don't know about that because I was new. But nevertheless, I sat through 2 hours of
the meeting.
And,
The meeting officially ended with the closure of the adjourned. Jared, we're going to form.
Hey, we got to put the table down.
We're in the middle of session. Come on. We want to discuss something.